Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Okay, there must be some slightly scratchy throat. Maybe it's Omicron. Who knows? Nah, I don't think so. Anyway, I say that just for fun. I probably shouldn't joke around with stuff like this, but I just find it a remarkable coincidence. I had this vaccine timeline, and then I started going all the way back to I think 2005. No, actually, no, the Buy Something Act, which allowed for government people to make profits off their inventions. Anyway, so the most recent ones that I just put in actually this morning were November 12th, which was the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which finally overruled the Biden unconstitutional mandates on the messenger RNA GMO shots, which is great. But I just find it very interesting that a scant 2 weeks later, actually, 2 weeks and 3 days later, the Omicron variant suddenly pops out of South Africa. What a coincidence. What an amazing surprise. Just in time for Christmas, too. Just in time to mask up and lock down and not be able to get your holiday fun in. But, in fact, I think I'll play our Christmas greeting in just a little bit. My Christmas message from last year. But I'll ask Jean about that in a little bit. She has some news for us first. But the idea that all of a sudden, you know, within just barely 2 weeks after the Fifth Circuit Court and another judge, you know, also banned the health workers from having to take a mandate from the Medicare folks. It's great. It's great what's happening. But all of a sudden, what does the government do in response? Well, they come up with a new variant. And that's kind of, it seems like how it's working around here. All right, let's get to Gene. I'll be back in a little bit after that.
When all is falling apart around you, when people are looking to you for answers you don't have, when you need a calm, reassuring voice to settle your fragile nerves, well, you've come to the right place. The always serene and tranquil, reasoned and measured, stable and sedate Gene Vernig, producer of the Action Radio Citizen Legislature, takes a few minutes each week at this time to reflect on her favorite phrase, "Are you kidding me?" And now, Gene Vernig.
I know she's there somewhere.
Hey, Gene, good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
Yeah, I think you're doing a Rush Limbaugh there, rustling the papers in the background. It's pretty funny. Do I need to turn that theme up a bit? What do you think? I don't know if you heard it.
It's good. It's good.
Okay, good.
I'm multitasking. It's interesting that you started to talk about the South Africa and that the virus, what is it now, the fourth
variant?
One started there?
The Omicron variant, yeah, after skipping new and G. Yeah, there's no new G.
But it was 2 days after they refused. I don't know if they refused the new vax or what it is. But 2 days after that, that's when this variant showed up. But the thing is, they're saying it's not as deadly or as lethal as the others. But the ironic thing, too, with all this vaccine stuff, 10 doctors now have been killed. I don't know if you could say killed, died, that have spoken out about the vaccines. And they said that there's over 600 published studies showing that ivermectin and
hydroxy. I break it up
hydroxy,
into two segments.
There it is.
Hydroxychloroquine. Yeah, that's how I do it. Yeah.
But anyway, over 600 studies showing the benefits of it. And what are we still doing? Oh, let's get the jab with all these side effects and stuff like that. I just doesn't make any sense.
COVID was always a marketing ploy. It's been a marketing ploy since day one. In fact, I found a bill that I wrote, which I'm going to drag out here. In fact, our website's just about to go. So we've been working feverishly on that behind the scenes with Eric Colley, our brilliant webmaster. But one of the things was that where's I going to go with this? I can't believe I lost my thought. I have so many things floating around in my head right now. All right, what was your question? Now I sound like an idiot. But I'll do this. I'll get off on a tangent, mention one thing, and totally forget my train of thought.
Well, but, there really was no question. It's just interesting that all these studies come out and show the benefits of it, and they're still pushing the
hydroxychloroquine.
And they're still pushing, you know,
remdesivir
and ventilator.
So where I was going with this was that that all roads lead to vaccines, that they had to ban hydroxychloroquine in order to sell vaccines, because if you have a cure, you don't need the vaccine. So quick little brain gap there. But, yeah, let me get you back to the stories, because there's a lot of stuff, just tons of things going on. So feel free.
Well, even the sad thing is with the vaccines, it's like all the people that they said there was, over 100 soccer players that have died, professional soccer players in, other countries, because soccer is not as big here, that have died after getting the jab. I'm not saying an hour or two, but, you know, how would you say, all these people that have gotten the jab, or the players that have gotten the jab, they're usually in very good shape physically. Now, that doesn't mean health-wise they may not have a heart issue or something else, but how can just over 100 of them just die? You could say one or two, but are they all have underlying health conditions?
Well, I think that an athlete, usually because of the fact that they exercise so much and they put demands on their heart to pump more blood, to get more oxygen to their muscles, and the fact that the messenger RNA GMO shot causes myocarditis, which is a swelling of the heart, I would think that athletes – you know, would be the first to show up by placing more demands on their heart, having a heart that swelled from the GMO shot, would be much more adversely affected, much more quickly affected than an average person with an average heart that's not putting the same amount of demands on their heart, because they're not trained athletes. They're not pushing like these folks are. So it actually makes sense in a way. And if we have a doctor who wants to call and confirm that, 215-383-3832. But for the folks that are placing more physical demands, the stress points, if your heart's enlarged, you know, and it's going to cause you a problem. It's going to cause a problem to the people that are putting the most demands on it. That's how I see it.
Okay. That makes sense. And then I've been waiting to, I thought Mike Lindell was supposed to come out with his lawsuit to the Supreme Court about the election last year. And I was listening to something last night, and they said, well, interesting enough that the head of the Republican Party, which that I'd assume would mean Mitt Romney's niece, is telling attorney generals to not sign on with Mike Lindell's lawsuit.
Of course they are. Ronna McDaniels.
What?
Ronna McDaniels.
What scumbags. I'm sorry, but that's just awful for the fact that it's like, just let the truth, I mean, we already know the truth, but let the truth really be known to the people that don't, I don't want to say that don't believe it, but even those that are trying to cover it up, I just think that's so sad. And then what do you make? Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question on that, because this is critical. I mean, I was going to post something before the show and I kind of ran out of time. But as far as I'm concerned, the geldings, the GOP, the gelding old party, unless they start decertifying and disqualifying Biden electors, there's no point in even re-registering as a Republican. Now, I unregistered specifically because of their gelding performance and their assistance in the coup and making sure that Biden illegally got into the White House. I mean, he's there because of Republicans. He's there because of Mike Pence. He's there because of Mitch McConnell. He's there because of Kevin McCarthy. I mean, none of these folks have done anything to do anything with the audits. They're doing nothing to help, you know, the problem. They're actually aiding the coup. So there's no point in voting for any of these people, because they refuse to declare. I mean, any Republican that uses the word Biden administration or President Biden is part of the coup. Because they contributed, they've accepted it. So I don't have any use for these people. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, but my thinking is, why vote next year when our vote's not going to matter anyway? And the reason I say that, they've done nothing to change the voting system.
Mm-hmm.
So
agreed.
Our votes are not legal, are not legally counted because of all the illegal stuff that goes on.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think you're absolutely right.
How sad is that? So many Republicans are saying, oh, we're going to win by a landslide. We're going to take the House over. We're going to take the Senate over. How can we when there's such illegal voting? And you could say, oh, no, there's not illegal voting. Well, look who we have. the thief in chief in the White House now and his incompetent sidekick.
Yeah, I think it's funny that Buttigieg, you know, the three-month absent transportation secretary who screwed up the supply chain, you know, is teaming up with the party girl from the illegal alien parents, you know, who's a total failure at the southern border, and they're on like some competence tour. You know, you've got Tweedledum and Tweedledumber. I don't know which is which, but you've got two of the most incompetent people in government today in some of the highest positions in our government, you know, sort of teaming up. But no, and we've been talking about this, you know, and I for months now, that unless the gelding old party fixes 2020, unless they disqualify Biden electors, unless they remove all the voting machines and go back to paper ballots with at most optical scanners that do nothing but count votes at that particular station, not connected to anything else, no internet, no chips, you know, no Wi-Fi, no nothing. Unless they fix the elections nationwide, then there's no reason to think that 2022 is going to go to the Republicans. And even if it does, what does it matter? They're cooperating with the Democrats on the tax increases, on the massive spending. I mean, it's Republicans that are pushing, you know, these multi-trillion dollar, you know, economic treasonous bills over the line. It's not that, I mean, Democrats are voting for it, but we expect them to. But it's the Republicans that are making it happen. It's the Republicans that put Biden in office. It's the Republicans that are busting the budget. It's the Republicans that are refusing to support the audits nationwide. It's the Republicans that have not done a single thing to fix 2022, and yet they say they're going to win. Based on what? There's no reason to assume they're going to win in 2022 unless they fix the election of 2020. And you and I have been talking about that for months, but I absolutely agree with you. You're bringing up it again. It's absolutely true. Nothing yet has changed.
Yeah, how sad. How sad. I can't wrap my head around it. I don't know what they're doing all day. I really don't. They're all in on it. That's the thing.
They're part of the deep state.
Yeah, exactly. Every single one of them. Yeah.
Well, no, not every single. No, there's a few exceptions.
Well, but, I can't. Well, the one from Colorado, I would say she is not. Mm-hmm. But everybody else. Yep. I think she's probably one. I think. Ted Cruz, mm-hmm. Let me see. Oh God, the guy I like listening to from Louisiana, Kennedy.
Kennedy's good. Louis Gohmert from Texas is good. Jim Jordan of Ohio is good.
Oh, he's good. Yep.
Devin Nunez.
I don't know. I question him. I think he's part of the deep state.
He's one of the.
He's
good
on
guys.
The fence.
I've been listening. Yeah, see, I've been listening to Devin Nunez since back in California. I remember him because he's from Fresno. He's a farmer.
Right.
Okay. And he's been after the federal government's illegal usurpation of California water for about 20 years. So I'm very familiar with Devin Nunez. In fact, I'd love to have him on the show sometime, hopefully. We'll do our best to do that. But, no, there's some good folks here. I mean, I know you're not a great fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz. I have hope for both of them that they'll get off their hair gel and, TV thing and – Yeah, go ahead.
I think they went to the dark side. I think when they got there, I think not too long. Yep, they like what they see as far as the fanning over them, and they wanna I don't know how to say, make them look important and that they're really doing anything. But Marjorie's just a lot of talk, no action.
Well, she did go to DC prison.
What's come of that? Nothing.
That's because Congress, who controls D.C., hasn't done anything about it. They've allowed the Marxists to hold political prisoners and torture them, basically, you know, and they don't care. So, the Edmund Burke saying always comes to mind. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. So where are the good people? They're doing nothing, you know, and this is the problem. Is the evil is there. We know the evil is there. The evil is always there. But the problem is that it used to be that the good people did something to stop the evil. It was the Republicans who set up the Watergate hearings. Howard Baker in the Senate was a Republican who did the Watergate hearings and got rid of Nixon. Okay, back in those days, loyalty to the country was stronger than loyalty to party. Now it's a loyalty to party. It's ideology. It's the Marxist ideology. It's the Republicans who worship the power of the deep state and the Democrats who worship the power of Marxism to create their utopia. No one's advocating for the United States. I mean, we need nationalists. That's the problem. But I see no hope for a two-party system. I don't even want I don't want a party system at all. I think that's one of the biggest problems is these folks get more into their party and their ideology than they do their actual job, which is serving us and representing us and protecting life, liberty, and property. That's their job. Back to you. Back to you, Jean.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a radio show.
I don't know. I had high hopes for them. And maybe it's because I had too high of hopes and they came kind of crashing down.
Trump inspired high hopes, which was wonderful. I lost faith in Trump as soon as the COVID thing came out. As soon as he let Fauci, you know, push him aside during the White House, the coronavirus task force briefings, I said, that's it. He's done. He let someone else push him aside, he had given up his presidency. And ever since then, everything went downhill. Yeah, go ahead.
With that, you know, I totally agree with you there. But with that, it's like when you're president or just like when you're head of any company, you really need to put people in charge that know what they're doing and then let them do that thing and not micromanage. However, Fauci was, I mean, he should have been gone years ago. He should have been gone way back after the debacle with the AIDS.
Yep.
What was going on with that? And he's allowed to stay there. Basically, horrible. But I do got a question, though, and this has nothing to do with that. But what do you think? Because this is just ego and stuff like that. But with Jack Dorsey stepping down or resigning from Twitter, what do you make of that at this point in time? Because it's like, you know what I mean by ego? I mean, this guy is like, look how much money he's making. Look how much control he's got. And everything over, you know, one huge social media platform, which just like if they don't agree with what your viewpoint is, boom, you can't put it on there. And so that he just suddenly resigns, it's not as though he's got something better lurking around the corner or that he's like just decided he wanted to take a step back and relax and enjoy life.
Okay, wait, no. Let me tell you, and I have one of my many researchers across the greater U.S. of A. Send me stuff, and these folks they're behind the scenes. There's a lot of people behind Action Radio that all you folks in the audience don't know about, and it's going to stay that way. But I got a message. This is a tweet, and I'm not going to give the website yet because I want to check it out more. It says on the first day of the GM trial, that would be Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah,
that would be Epstein, you know, the guy who was murdered in jail that they're trying to call a suicide. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're all over this at the Action Radio Special Investigations page. It says on the first day of Ghislaine, and nobody knows how to pronounce the name, Ghislaine, whatever it is. Well, that's the British
Maxwell.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, here's what happened. So on the first day of the trial, the CEO of Twitter resigned. That's Jack Dorsey. That's what you're talking about. The CFO, the chief financial officer of Walmart, resigned. And the CFO of CNBC TV resigned.
Oh, I didn't know all that.
I know. I just found out. Yeah. Okay. I got sources. I got sources even Gene doesn't know about. You know,
no,
I'll let you in on this stuff. But yeah, but this is here's if you're interested. As we're talking today, we have five reports. Gene's one of them, and we have our other folks. We've got Shelby's going to join us. Actually, Shelby's joining us with her son Christian. So Chris is going to come on, and Christian runs a chess website for kids, and so he's amazingly popular. So the kid's a genius. And then we have let me see, Josie comes on with a Latino report. We've got Paulette with Foods That Don't Kill You, and we've got Wine, Weed, and Wellness with Chauncey Terry. So we got a busy day. Tuesdays are busy. I got to kind of kick back today. But if you're curious, Gene, and I know you are, CEO of Twitter resigned, the CFO of Walmart resigned, and the CFO of CNBC resigned on the first day of the trial. Coincidence? I don't think so.
No. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what we know so far. Now I'm going to track this down, or you can track it. Or I'll send it to you, and then you can, you know, we can play with that, and away you go. But there it is. Yep. So
interesting. Also, and I don't know if this is true, but they said that James Comey's daughter is the prosecutor in her trial.
I think so. Yes, I think I've heard that. I haven't really looked into it much because I've been doing other stuff.
So,
but yeah. That's,
you know,
that's,
it's never going to go anywhere. They
well, the judge is terrible, too. The judge is a hack, you know, is a political hack. So, you know, this, the whole trial is already scandalous. I mean, it's almost like they predetermined their outcome. you know, which is normally what happens to these things. So I'm not sure that just is a show. We really need to look into that. I'll probably let the trial develop a little bit. It's probably like a Monday thing. Monday's when I get time to you know, sort of research from Friday through Sunday. Except I work Sundays. But it gives me a chance to spend some time looking into the details. This is why I don't report stories right away. Because they are, you know, I kind of like to let them sit for a while and let them develop. But this is definitely a developing story. The fact that there's no TV in the courtroom I find interesting, too. I mean, this is the one trial we want to watch. But,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But we shall see.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised, though, that she didn't show up dead. Because, I mean, with what she knows,
mm-hmm.
The powers that be don't want it to be known. You know, because mm-hmm. that may implement them. Or get,
well,
you know, get them involved. Because you can't tell me that there's not a whole lot of politicians and otherwise bigwigs, like you just named some of them that have resigned,
mm-hmm.
that
Well, they try to spend more time with their family.
Mm-hmm.
We know how that
yes.
goes.
Yes,
well,
yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Here's as I understand it, and this is not a subject I've really researched a lot. Karen Hoffman did the best job on this. So this is about a year ago. She made a fabulous report on the sex trafficking and the children that are brought to Epstein's Island, and they're a bunch of pedophiles, you know. And it's the rich and famous. I mean, Bill Clinton's been to
right.
his island a bunch of times, you know. And these are things we know. And so what they're going to do is they've got the pilot that used to fly them there. I think he's one of the first witnesses. And so this is going to be interesting to see what comes out of the trial. They can report on the trial. They just can't televise it. So we'll still find out what's going on. And this is why I say just be patient. It's going to get very interesting. But this is a situation where the richest people in the world think they're gods. The same thing happens to people once they get $1 billion. They think they can do anything. They think they know everything. They think they can do anything. And the rules don't apply to them. That's why you see the rich people, you know, like Gavin Newsom and Brandon, you know, not wearing masks ever. Why? Because of the rich people. Laws don't apply to them, right? Remember, who was that that woman in New York who didn't pay taxes? She says taxes are for the little people. Remember her?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so this is how these people think. And this is why I did that whole show on Phillips Exeter Academy and the prep schools and the difference between a leadership education and a government indoctrination that everybody, like mm-hmm. the other 99% of the population gets. This is why. These people are they're like a separate, you know, world unto themselves. And part of that, part of the flip side of power is corruption. And so the more power, the more corruption. The more power
right.
they get, the more they think the rules don't apply to them. So the idea of flying to an island with, you know, young teenage girls underage is perfectly acceptable to people that have no morals, have no conscience, have no, you know, value of other human life other than their own. Everybody else is like a servant to them. So, you know, you'd never, whereas a normal person would think, underage, what are you kidding? Even if it weren't against the law, it's disgusting. So you don't do it, right? You know, but
right.
those people, they've lost their moral compass. They've lost their moral direction. That's how Bill Gates can talk about, you know, making vaccines and reducing the world's population. I'm still tracking that down because I hear two thoughts on that. I've heard one that he's trying to make, I think this is the excuse, the cover story, that he's really just trying to, you know, make children healthier so that people don't have to have so many kids. Because, you know, if you live in a country that's really poor, you might have 5 kids and 2 of them survive. Okay. And that's actually the way it was here back in, you know, in the 1800s. People had big families because they had farms and they were going to lose a couple of kids or a certain amount of kids along the way. Before 5 years old is like, you know, mortality is like before 5. And I think in the 1800s, people lived to what, 40? If you made it to 50, you were doing really well. You know, so that's, you know, that was the old standard then. And so now lifestyles, you know, increase. And so the cover story for Gates is, well, he's just trying to, you know, improve their lives so they don't have to have so many kids so they can put all their energy into the two, you know, that are going to be fine, you know. And then the other flip side of it is he's just trying to cut the world population in half. Now, I don't see why he'd do that because people are power. If you're a mega, you know, what's a megalomaniac is what I'm trying to think of. If you're a megalomaniac, if you have no conscience, if you have more money than, you know, if you're approaching, you know, the Midas is fortunate, if you got more money than you could ever possibly spend and the arrogance that comes with it, why would you reduce the world's population, which you consider your workforce? That doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't know why they would do it. So this is
yeah.
why the disconnect. You know,
especially because when you talk about, okay, because though they're afraid of a food shortage, Well, they're the ones that are going to be able to buy the food because they're going to have the money. They're going to have the means. They're not going to be like us that are not, because we won't be able to pay a couple hundred dollars for a loaf of bread or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And they have farms, too.
Very interesting.
Gates owns a lot of agricultural land. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, he does.
How about that? But I think it's control more than the fact that he really likes farms. So that's a different thing. Yeah. I've got a topic that I want to talk about for a few minutes here. If you have any more stories, feel free. But, okay. So one of the things I do when I analyze society is I'm going to put my social commentary hat on here. Something that I'm very in tune with is language, because although I think conservatives are woefully inadequate when it comes to analyzing language, and the left is very good at it. That's why they use terms like gun control and assault weapon and white nationalist and white supremacist. And they use all these terms. These, you know, climate change, you know, they use innocuous terms that are very dangerous. You know, Green New Deal, you know, all these little euphemisms they have. There's a bunch of people sitting in a basement somewhere in their old pajamas, you know, writing these things down every day. They've got their talking point crew. And it's somewhere, some locked, you know, they've got these minions who are really bright writing talking points, and they're very good at it. And I keep offering to the gelding party, you know, I mean, the gelding old party, I mean, that's a great image right there. Right, because you folks that know that don't know what geldings, if you don't know what geldings are, look them up. Okay, that's a talking point. Okay, I use talking points all the time. My most dramatic talking point is Dr. Fascist. Okay, well, you know exactly who I'm talking about. I don't even have to explain it. Everybody knows who I'm talking about when I say Dr. Fascist. You know, and yet that completely demonizes him. You know, puts him right there with Dr. Mengele. You know, when you think about it. So Dr. Fascist, and then I get extreme, the genocidal, psychopathic, narcissistic, vaccine drug pusher. That's a talking point, okay? I mean, where can you go from that? There's nowhere to go, all right? So language is so critical. But I watch language, and I watch, you know, there was a time, even up to about 10 years ago, when white people wouldn't talk about themselves as white. It was Caucasian. You could, in fact, white people couldn't say black people, okay? Language is changing, and what there's a trend going on that I don't think people are aware of yet. We try to be at least a year to 2 years ahead of everybody else in the news. But the trend is that Americans versus Marxists, Americans are starting to use language much more effectively against the left. And the left, as we know, are a bunch of cowards. Okay, the people that want the most power are generally the most insecure and the most cowardly. That's why they want the power. It's a shield for them. So they project onto others evil that they feel, the hate that they feel, the insecurity that they feel, and that's why they want more power. The people that want you not to have a gun are the people that would use a gun against you, you know, the left.
Yeah.
The people that surround themselves with armed guards are the people that don't want you to have a gun. Why? Because they feel powerless and insecure, and they want gated communities. They want to live sheltered lives. They want to go to Epstein's Island. You know, this all ties in, okay? But language is critical. So white people started using the word white, I think about maybe 5 years ago. And here's what happened. And here's this. There's a fascinating change. There are two trials that have changed America: Kyle Rittenhouse and the upcoming one with Daryl Brooks. Okay, now Daryl Brooks, if you don't know who he is, he's the murderer, the mass murderer at the Waukesha, I think is how you pronounce it, parade. He's the one that drove the red SUV into a bunch of white people as a black guy. All right, it's a racist, terrorist, hate crime. All right. And it's not being characterized that except in a few places. Now, Tucker Carlson last night used the word black nationalist. That's the first time I heard it by a major news producer or a major news figure. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. So then I started looking around. Where else is black supremacist or black nationalist being used? Now, we've been using those terms for several months now. You know, Pianki and I talk about this regularly. And because he gets after me for not being blatant and blunt enough. In fact, he'll probably call in a minute now because he knows I'm talking about him. But that's a shout out. Okay. You can't miss that one. But this is the thing, that if it's okay to say white supremacist, it's okay to say black supremacist. You know, I had this mythical conversation that I'm on The View one day. And I run things by, you know, this, if I were on The View, what would I say? And so, you know, just imagine, you know,
awesome.
Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg saying, you're a white supremacist. And of course, my response is, well, I'm offended. And then since I'm offended, you can't say it. Well, yes, we can. You're a white supremacist. No, I'm offended. Your rules are, you know, if I say I'm offended, you can't say it. Okay. And so, but the rules are changing. And of course they said, well, yes, we can say it because that's what you are. I said, well, if you can say that I'm a white supremacist, I can say you're a black supremacist. What's the difference? Especially in a world where we're all equal, right? You know, this is Animal Farm. Some people are more equal than others. So the term black supremacist has come up, and it's I found a few places. Laura Loomer said it, white woman. You know, we got Tucker Carlson, white guy, are using the terms black nationalist and black supremacist. This is a monumental change that I don't think people have noticed yet. They will about 6 months from now, but right now, this is, you remember when we called that we reached a turning point, you know, where resistance has, increased to conformity. We've gone from conformity to resistance. Remember back, it was like 2 or 3 months ago with the Trump rally on that Saturday night. And we did the show resistance to, you know, the end of conformity, the beginning of resistance. We were absolutely right. We called that right on. And then of course the court started turning and the people started turning. And after that, shortly after, people started resisting, you know, the messenger RNA, you know, GMO shot, and more people started resisting it. And now, of course, like we talked about today, and then the 11th Circuit Court down South Louisiana, Texas, and Georgia, Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi, I think, Fifth Circuit, said the mandate's illegal and OSHA is prevented. They have an injunction. They can't do anything further. You know, and then this other judge just said 10, you know, favoring 10 states where the health workers there, they don't have mandates either. Sorry, Brandon. Did you see the post? I think I put it on my website. There's Brandon High School. Put it on my Facebook page. And of course the caption is, you know, can't wait to hear what the cheerleaders say Friday night. Let's go, Brandon. Doom, 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 doom. Anyway, I digress. But the point is that language leads change. If you can say it, you can think it. If you can think it, it can become a reality. And the idea that white commentary, I don't see the backlash from the left. You know, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, maybe even 6 months ago, during George Floyd especially, if you'd said black supremacist, oh, there would have been public, character lynchings. Not physical, although there would be certainly people who'd want to, but there would have been character assassinations immediately. You said black nationalists or black supremacist? Now, it was heard a few times already, especially on Tucker Carlson, said it a couple times, black nationalist. I just think this is a huge monumental change that once the language changes, the thought changes, and if people start saying black nationalists and black supremacists, Black Lives Matter, and the left and the Marxists, they're not going to be able to use the same propaganda. They're going to have to pull back, and we'll show them for the cowards they are, because they haven't said anything. They are conspicuous by their absence of not having said anything about the term black supremacist and black nationalist in the news, at least not that I've seen.
Right.
Back to you, Jean.
I agree with you. Words are powerful. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's interesting how some words just really can trigger a person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But what I'm fascinated with is that they haven't triggered the left. This is really crazy. Anyway, I got an article for you called, from Loomard, which is Laura Loomer's site. She was on with Judge Jeanine Pirro talking about the fake vaccines and how this is a bunch of nonsense and all this other stuff. And then they had their good doctor propagandist who was speaking against her. It was really funny. All right, let's play our Santa Rosa Volunteers piece for this week. And then I'm going to come back with this article, Loomard. And then we've got at 7, is it 7? Yeah, I think it's. Who comes on at 7? Let me check my schedule here. We are so busy now. This is so crazy. I forgot my own schedule. Cruise and Travel with Shelby. So there we go. So let me play this now, and then we'll be right back in a few minutes. And then, of course, you know, you don't have to leave. Listen in. This is going to be fun. Where is it? There it is. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers, here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. In Federalist Paper number 7, Alexander Hamilton once again beats the same dead horse he trotted out in his first Federalist Paper, that the Constitution has to be ratified or the states will end up divided in 3 or so groups, or will cause other nations to invade us. Upping the ante now, he claims that we will all be at war with ourselves in this paper, and once again the cure is to ratify the Constitution. Ironic again that the Constitution was in full force when the states did divide, but in a unified way against the federal government created by the Constitution, and not in the 3 or 4 separate confederacies as argued by Hamilton and the Federalists.
but one confederacy of states who were run by the Democrat Party. Be careful what you wish for. Hamilton begins with this question. It is sometimes asked, with an air of seeming triumph, what inducements could the states have, if disunited, to make war upon each other? This is a preposterous question, given that the states were united under the Articles of the Confederacy, and that no states were at war or were, to my knowledge, trying to take each other's territory. So Hamilton asks a question that requires an assumption that doesn't exist. Therefore, a legitimate answer cannot be given. But that's not the point of the question. The point is to plant in your brain that if the states became disunited, what would save the Union? And the only answer Hamilton wants you to consider is the new Constitution. Hamilton also says, "We have a vast tract of unsettled territory within the boundaries of the United States. There are still discordant and undecided claims between several of them, and the dissolution of the Union would lay a foundation for similar claims between them all." Well, yes, the dissolution of the Union would cause territorial disputes, but to use that as a reason to ratify the Constitution, you have to believe two things. One, that there is going to be a dissolution of the Union under the Articles of Confederation, and two, that there will be no dissolution of the Union nor any territorial disputes if the Constitution is ratified. Both of those are impossible to argue as connected or even probable individually. Therefore, the argument for the Constitution from the Federalists is based solely on their fertile imagination of what they think will scare the people who would vote to ratify the Constitution the most. If this is in fact the case, then the Constitution was argued from a huge pyramid of ever-increasing lies designed to channel all thinking to a predetermined outcome without real examination, because the building block evidence and arguments of the Federalists crumble at the slightest scrutiny. They knew that, but argued it that way anyway. Kind of sounds like the government position on COVID since early 2020. Hamilton concludes, "From the view they have exhibited of this part of the subject, this conclusion is to be drawn, that America, if not connected at all, or only by the feeble tie of a simple league, offensive and defensive, would, by the operation of such jarring alliances, be gradually entangled in all the pernicious labyrinths of European politics and wars, and by the destructive contentions of the parts into which she was divided, would be likely to become a prey to the artifices and machinations of powers, equally the enemies of all of them. Divide and conquer must be the motto of every nation that either hates or fears us." At the end of this Federalist paper, Alexander Hamilton has tied together every preposterous proposition he is making with the hope that enough bogus fears will be grouped together, and the simple weight of numbers of so many ridiculous assumptions will somehow, as a group, give them credibility. Divide and conquer. I wonder if he would have used race like it's used today, if he could. The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. The Articles of Confederation are from usconstitution.net. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. dangerously cool.
And we're back, and I have a big announcement, so let's get the gong. New sponsored Action Radio, Strike Force. Strike Force Energy Drinks. We are now an affiliate. We are now a warrior of Strike Force, and you can get a 20% discount on Strike Force products by putting in the code WYL. That stands for Write Your Laws. Okay, so if you go to Strike Force, go to the website, if you want to try buy any of these Strike Force Energy Drink products, and you want a 20% discount, you'll get yourself a discount, and you'll help Action Radio. And again, the code is WYL, and that stands for Write Your Law. So the code, your discount code, when they ask you to put it in on the website for your order, it's WYL. So there we go. We're doing Gene. Hey, we're growing by leaps and bounds.
Yay,
we're
going to
be
awesome.
We're going to be a major force in the world. Yeah, yeah. So, big announcement. Okay.
That's wonderful.
Do you have a comment or any comment or anything before I get started on this article here? What do you think so far?
Nope, you can continue with the article.
Okay, so it's called Loomerd is the website. That's Laura Loomer's website. And the article here is by Laura Loomer, of course, post 22nd. So this is a little about last week, and I just found it. And the title is Daryl Brooks Belongs to Black Supremacist Sect of Islam Called the 5% Nation. He committed vehicular jihad. And so this is a very interesting article, all right? It says Loomerd was the first, this is their website, Loomerd was the first to exclusively report the identity of the Waukesha, Wisconsin terror Daryl Brooks. Our investigative reporting confirmed that he was the attacker and owner of the red SUV used in Sunday's Christmas parade attack that left at least five people dead and dozens more injured. I think there's six now. I think another person has died from that attack. She says, we were also first to report that his social media was littered with anti-white and anti-Jewish posts that encouraged the killing of white people and posts that celebrated Hitler for being right about the real Jews. This publication was early to note, that's Loomerd, right, was early to note and report Daryl's ties to Black Lives Matter and the fact that he used a vehicle to murder people in an act of vehicular jihad. Now, this went on before. We had Muslims doing this in New York. There was a guy in a pickup truck that killed a bunch of people, just drove into a sidewalk. You know, and so this is, and we've had trucks in Europe do exactly the same kind of thing. So this guy, you know, hates white people, hates Jews, you know, and he's a very small radical black Muslim sect, and he's part of Black Lives Matter. To me, he's a terrorist, and so are those groups. And we'll see what this would be a good time to call for Black Lives Matter to be listed as a domestic terrorist group. Now back to the article. Laura Loomer posted that the suspect was likely a black Muslim, and now we can exclusively confirm that Daryl Brooks is a supporter of the 5% Nation. Okay, this is new to me, Gene. I've never heard of this group, right? Otherwise known as the Nation of Gods and Earths, NGE or NOGE, a subsect of Nation of Islam, and that would be Louis Farrakhan's group, all right? The 5% Nation is a black nationalist movement influenced by Islam. Members of the group call themselves Allah's 5%ers. You know, I wonder if he said Allah Akbar before he ran into those people and killed them. That'd be, I don't know, it's just something just came to mind. The article continues, the 5% Nation preaches black supremacy and teaches that black people are the original inhabitants of planet Earth and that the white man is an evil devil. Yeah, that sounds like Farrakhan. The term 5%er comes from the 5% who are described in the Nation of Islam in their lost, found Muslim lesson number 2. And so we have a nice quote here for what that is. This lesson categorizes people in the world into 3 categories, where 85% of the world's population, which includes white people, are described as uncivilized people, poison animal eaters, I guess that makes us carnivores, slaves from mental and power, people who do not know the living God or their origin in this world. Well, I guess a lot of Christians would tend to disagree with that. A lot of Jews would too. And they worship that which they do not know. Yeah, I think we disagree with that as well. They are easily led in the wrong direction, but hard to lead into the right direction. Gene, I feel you want to make a comment here. So I'll take a break and I'll give you the rest of this in a bit. Gene?
No, actually, I'm just listening because I have never heard of them either. So yeah, I'm learning a lot today.
Well, here's what's interesting. She's openly saying black supremacist, you know, black Muslim, jihad, you know, vehicular jihad. These are new terms. These are critical new terms. You're going to see these pop up more and more. But Laura Loomer is leading the way in journalism as far as this goes. And so this is very interesting. I don't think this is something that we need to legislate on because the laws are already there on domestic terrorism. This is just something worth reporting because, you know, a part of our job here is to go beyond the news and to watch for social and cultural trends. And I think the trend this language change. Like I say, I think this is going to be huge. You're going to see more and more of it. And the fact that the left is not objecting. You know, you've heard conspicuous by their absence. The left is real conspicuous now. We're right now a bunch of cowards. All right. So,
that brings up a good point.
Go ahead.
You don't always have to pay attention to what they say. Sometimes you really have to pay attention to what someone is not saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll frequently hear me talking about what's not in the news or what's not being said. You know, and the conspicuous by absence is kind of like a pretty regular thing around here. So I'm always watching for what's not being said. And what's not being said right now is the left has not screamed and yelled and called for, you know, Tucker Carlson's resignation or firing or imprisonment, you know, or labeled him a racist. Well, they probably label him a racist anyway. But where's the objection? And where's Laura, you know, the objection of Laura Loomer? Now, she's a fascinating person. She actually got raped in Egypt, I believe, while on assignment. And so this is a tough woman. And she's still in journalism. She's still doing her thing. And I think she's, at this point, fearless. I don't think there's too – she's raped and tortured. I don't think too much more can be done to her short of killing her. But she's out there, and she is absolutely fearless. And this is why I love, you know, her for a source. I'd love to get her on the show. You know, she's an inspiration. All right. So back to lesson number two from the Lost Found Muslim stuff. The other 10% of the world's population is described as the rich, slave makers of the poor, who teach the poor lies to believe that the almighty, true, and living God is a spook – well, that's interesting – and cannot be seen by the physical eye. Otherwise known as the bloodsuckers of the poor. Well, these people think they're Robin Hood? Come on, give me a break. Anyway, the last 5%, known as the 5% nation, okay, now we're getting to the Muslim group that Daryl Brooks belongs to, are described as the poor, righteous teachers. Oh, that's elevating. Who do not believe in the teachings of the 10% and are all wise and know who the living God is. That would be Allah, I assume. And teach that the living God is the Son of Man. That's S-U-N, not S-O-N, S-U-N. Son of Man, the Supreme Being, the Black Man of Asia. Wait a minute. Where's my population in Asia? Don't mind me. I'm just digressing. And teach freedom, justice, and equality. What? Wait. Gene, you know, beam me up. When have you ever heard teachings from the Quran talk about freedom, justice, and equality, especially the way they treat women, homosexuals, the rest of the world, submit or die, apostates? Somehow when I think of Islam, you know, fundamentalist, terrorist, jihadi Islam, the terms freedom, justice, and equality somehow don't come to mind. I think I must have missed
exactly.
That.
Yeah.
So it says, teach freedom, justice, and equality to all of the human family on planet Earth. Interesting. Let me continue on. When Loomer exclusively reported the fact that Daryl Brooks was a wannabe rapper with a link to his YouTube music video, which features the SUV he used in the attack, this guy's an idiot. Besides being dangerous and a terrorist and a murderer, he's also an idiot. He says, I noticed his rapper name, Math Boy Fly. That's MathBoyFly. Capital M, capital B, capital F. I don't know what Math Boy Fly means, but anyway, it says YouTube has since deleted the video. I'm shocked. That's what I am. Shocked.
Yeah, exactly.
YouTube has since deleted the video in their active cover-up of this anti-white terrorist attack.
That surprises me. I would have figured they would have left it on there.
Of course. I mean, that's actually racist to take down the rapper, take down a black rapper, don't you think? Sorry. I'm having too much fun with this. And I'm not meaning to in any way denigrate or limit the tragedy that happened in Waukesha. I mean, I'm not doing that. But what I'm saying is, even in the worst of tragedies, there are things that you sort of look at and you go, wait a minute. So we're not analyzing the murders and the deaths and the tragedies that happen. But I just want to make that clear to people as I poke fun at the language that's being used here. We're sort of analyzing the social commentary aspect and the groups that this guy's affiliated with and the fact that you would normally not take down a black rapper for fear of being accused of being racist. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Greg. I was just going to say, okay, too, with in Waukesha there and Black Lives Matter and all this stuff, mm-hmm, one big thing, key thing that if one didn't think much of Black Lives Matter in any way, and I find that hard to believe considering how much they were involved with burning down large parts of big cities last year, like Minneapolis, and the mess that's still going on in Portland. And I don't understand that, but I guess I should, because they've got who's running the city. But anyway, that they're helping with Daryl's law. Yeah, with they're trying to raise $5 million, I heard, or something like that.
Oh, really? We live in a strange society where somebody who defends himself, Kyle Rittenhouse, is demonized as a white supremacist, even though everybody involved in this case, from the judge, the jury, the prosecutors, the defendants, you know, and the people that tried to murder Kyle were all white. And then we have and he gets attacked. And then we have Daryl Brooks, a black supremacist, black Muslim jihadi who hates white people, hates Jews, drives an SUV for no reason at all other than his hatred, into a bunch of white people. And it's not classified as a terrorist attack. And people are actually trying to raise funds for him to defend him. Everything's backwards. And we live in a strange world.
Well,
where the people
were...
– go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry. This has nothing to do with the Waukesha case now. But Kyle, he's supposedly been going or was going to school online at some university in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was yesterday. I don't know if you heard it, but recently, obviously, there are students there that are protesting. They do not want him to come back on campus. They don't want him to be involved in the school. And they're having rally, is it tomorrow, something like that. And they had a lot of stipulations they want. Instead of putting money towards the cops, having security, they wanted to go towards safe places for students, for white supremacy and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, what happens when you need someone there?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, things happen on a campus. It's not always because of students, but other people getting on, whatever. Anyway, what happens when you need someone? Who are you going to call? You're going to run to your safe house? I don't think so. But the thing is, they said he's not even been on campus. He's just been doing it virtually. And so it's like, it's just interesting how they can spin a narrative to fit their needs, yet it's not even true. And the thing is, Kyle was found not guilty. So if he was found not guilty, why are, and I know the Love Stream media have to have something to divert their attention to, but it's like, if he was found not guilty, then he should be not guilty. And the reason I say that, if something happens to me and I go to court, trial, and I'm found guilty or not guilty, that's, I don't want to say label, but that's what I am. And so if I'm found not guilty, then it's like, why are people rehashing it?
Well, because they don't like the verdict. You know, it didn't fit their narrative. But this is, and this is, you know, not to try and criticize your question earlier about the democracy versus a Republican and why legislators, you know, aren't really duty bound to vote for what the people want. This is a case where what the people want, if you take the loudest voices out there, what the people want is to overturn the Republic system, you know, a trial, evidence, rules, a jury, and go to the more democracy, you know, lynch mob mentality. Well, we think he's guilty, therefore he's guilty. We want him to be guilty because it fits our narrative. You know, then you get into political verdicts. And so this is why you have to protect your republic so strongly, where you have to protect the jury system and the court system. And I think the juries are woefully undereducated. You know, we're going to start – I had Dr. Roger Roots on from FIJA, Fully Informed Jury Association. He also defended the Bundys. You know, so this is back at WBY. I want to try and get him back again. I actually have been trying for a while.
Wow.
I've gotten to talk to some amazing people. It's been really fun. You look at the system and you have to protect us. What these people are really saying is, we don't care about the jury system. We don't care about the Republic. We are the jury. We, the people, get to decide based on, you know, the false evidence they're getting. You know, they still think that most people who think of Kyle Rittenhouse as a white supremacist think he defended himself against black people. And that's simply not the case. That's just made up. So this is why you have to have a jury system. You have to have evidence. It has to be presented openly in court. You have to challenge your accusers. You have to have due process. You have to have all this stuff. I mean, half the Bill of Rights is devoted to the accused. And the whole point of that is so that the innocent don't go to jail. You know, the legal system is not set up it is set up to prosecute the guilty, but our rights are set up to protect the innocent.
Right, and that's how it should be. And really, people should be, for the most part, innocent until proven guilty, except there are some occasions where there is total proof that what happened. However, sometimes it's not all black and white. Sometimes there's things that have gone on before that we can't see from that particular video, all you can see is that moment in time. And so I'm thinking, if someone's being harassed or whatever, and they just, and I'm not saying nobody should shoot anybody because I don't believe that. But the thing is, sometimes they get to a point where they've had enough and they make not a very sound decision. Mm-hmm. So I get that. But I really think
that's
we need to go
charges.
Back to people are innocent until proven guilty. And I mean, well, some of these people are horrible what they have to go through just to fit someone else's narrative that's false. But I do want to bring up a point from yesterday with that what you said and how you explained it made a lot of sense. And it's changed my viewpoint. So thank you on that, because I totally
Which
get
one?
What you were saying. I was looking at it from a different standpoint, but but even how I was looking at it, it still makes more sense, and it is better. I don't know if better is a good word, but better way of looking at things than how I was. So thank you, because, yeah, it makes a big difference.
You're welcome.
Democracy, whatever. But I guess sometimes I live in a bubble, and I just think that things should be a certain way, and it's not, as far as that people that are elected are looking out for our best interest, and sometimes they're not. And you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the whole point of Action Radio. And thank you, first of all. But the whole point of Action Radio is to have the people write the laws that the legislators can't write. And the reason they can't write them is because they're beholden to their donors, and they're beholden to their campaign folks and their party. And so they've actually removed the independence necessary to be good legislators. So what I hope to do is supply them with the legislation that will allow them to be good legislators again. Okay, I'm not trying to subvert the process. I'm not trying to change the Constitution. I'm not trying to do anything other than be a better source of bills than big pharma for pharma bills, big ag for ag bills, you know, big, you know, finance for finance bills. You know, I just think we can be a better source, because the bills that we write don't benefit us other than benefiting everybody by increasing our freedom. And that's the standard. And so that's how it works. So thank you very much. I appreciate the compliment. All right, let's finish this up, because we got Shelby joining us here in just a minute. Anyway, so it says, so back to our article here in Lumard. It says, given that Daryl Brooks can barely form a proper English sentence, his name isn't Math Boy because he's good at math. However, his rap name is Math Boy Fly because he belongs to the 5% nation, which teaches that supreme mathematics and supreme alphabet are the key to understanding humans' relationship with the universe. These are like Scientologists, it sounds like. Anyway, says, these principles were created and founded by Allah the Father, formerly known as Clarence 13X, a.k.a. Clarence Edward Smith. The 5% nation is a variation of the Nation of Islam, whose followers are predominantly black men. The founder of the 5% nation founded this subsect of Nation of Islam after he left the Nation of Islam's temple number 7 in Harlem, New York, the same temple in Harlem where Malcolm X was a minister from 1960 to 1963. So I guess the 5%ers have decided that the Nation of Islam isn't quite radical enough for them. So they're going to carry a little further. All right. So Lumard is the website. Uncovered Daryl Brooks' social media pages before they were wiped from the internet in an active cover-up by big tech and the pro-Black Lives Matter media. They are actively trying to cover up this act of black supremacist, Islamic-inspired terrorism against innocent white people in Wisconsin. Let me say that one more time, just to put it permanently on the record here, okay? The big tech and pro-Black Lives Matter media, they are actively trying to cover up this act of black supremacist, Islamic-inspired terrorism against innocent white people in Wisconsin. There, we said it. It's very simple. I don't think it could be clearer what's going on here. Watch language. Watch how this changes. I'd be very curious. And Gene, if you find other sources that pick this up, that would be very interesting to see. All right, I got a couple things I haven't played for a while, so I'm going to get into those. But let me check with Gene first, see if she has any thoughts on this before we have a little fun. And then I'll be back in just a bit. Gene?
No, I would like to analyze or talk to someone who started coming up with these names. It's so interesting, just like Elon Musk, what he named his son. It's like, just interesting.
I told you, there's a whole department of talking points the Democrats have.
Yeah.
The Republicans don't, because they're stupid. You know, the geldings. You know, I'd say gelding old party is one of the best euphemisms I've ever come up with, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's laughable, but that's who they are. All right, let me play a couple things here. We'll be right back. If Shelby's not with us, of course, I have other stories to talk about, but it's a busy Tuesday morning here on Action Radio.
Joe Biden's dark winter. No freedom, no liberty, no guns, no representation, no oil, no coal, no nuclear power, no space force, no constitution, no family gatherings, no vacations, just taxes, work, misery, masks, lockdowns, and ever more government. This is what will happen if you let Marxists steal the election. This has been a public service announcement of Action Radio, reminding you it's time to get off your butt and save your country.
And I made that before the election. Got another one for you.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need, it's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now. So that you are never in that position in the future, I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back.
And I got some good news for you here. We have our webmaster is going to be on a wonderful website, a new website for us at writeyourlife.com. Jean, and I have one more thing to play.
I was just going to say that first one you played, I sometimes I don't even like listening to it because it's so eerie. But it's so true. And I think that's why I don't like listening to it, because it's, you know, it's kind of like satire, but yet it's like, no, it's really not. It's really what it is. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And I made that about a month before the election. And so what's interesting, I find, is that, you know, people say, well, I thought Biden was a moderate. I didn't know what he was going to do. And we told you exactly what he was going to do. we forecasted completely. You know, again, this is what I like to say. We're ahead of everybody else here. You know, so Action Radio is the cutting edge of freedom. But, yeah, and here's the fun thing, too. See, one of the best things I ever did before I started Action Radio was I went to my local junior college or community college. And I took a couple of courses in broadcasting and broadcast production. And so I learned how to use my Adobe Audition software, same thing they use in the commercial stations. And I also have I have my soundtracks. And so when I make these things, you know, half the time I spend just selecting the right music, because the music sets the mood. That is the eeriest, creepiest thing I could find, right? And so then I put my dark Biden voice on, and you combine them together. And then, of course, you know, and then the end part, you know, it's time to get off your butt and save your country. Vote. You know, but even then I was still suspicious. In fact, I've been suspicious since 2018 when I thought that election was a complete fraud. And I said, wait a minute, you've got Republicans who all of a sudden the Democrats are taking over the seat, you know, with the votes that came in after Election Day, after the count. You know, so this kind of stuff happens all the time, and it shouldn't. But like I say, I have no faith in 2022. I refuse to register as a Republican so long as they remain geldings and don't start disqualifying Biden electors, you know, which they should have done a year ago. Anyway, play one more thing. Be right back.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with a personal recommendation and testimonial for Eric Colley, our new webmaster and marketing guru. Eric has been invaluable in upgrading our website, writeyourlaws.com. To help you with your marketing, Eric Colley offers proven, cost-effective strategies to help small businesses, startups, and nonprofits market themselves on Google Page One. You can gain thousands of followers and be far more competitive. And this is the good part, without paid advertising. Most business owners don't have the time or expertise to excel at marketing. Even fewer have the funds to hire a special employee. And you don't have to. There is a better option. Eric Colley, a consultant who uses leading-edge marketing strategies to increase your profitability at costs which are far more affordable than an advertising or marketing agency. You can be seen high up in Google's page one. You can dominate Google's local three-pack of businesses next to the search results map. You can increase foot and website traffic. Eric Colley can be reached at 208-999-7510. That's 208-999-7510. His website is besmallbusiness.com. BESMALLBUSINESS. And you can reach him by email at eric@besmallbusiness.com. And that's how you do it. Action Radio, dedicated to fixing everything.
See how much fun we have here? I'm going to have to do more. In fact, I have a new tomorrow I'll have a new founding moments on Anti-Federalist number 7, which is so good. I mean, this is incredible. The Anti-Federalists are impressing me more than I ever thought I would, because I never really read I knew about them. I wish I could read more. I'm so ADHD. I get bored. If something doesn't captivate my interest in the first, three sentences, I'm already asleep. My mind's already wandered onto something else. I'm just completely gone from it. But let me give you something. Looks like we got Shelby on the line here. So let me give you something really quickly. In the news that I can't post on Facebook because, they would censor it immediately, from Health Impact News, we got a story here. Israel simulates COVID-19 war game Omega exercise on November 11th, 2021. So that's, 2 weeks ago. This is 2 weeks before this current new variant, that'd be the Omicron, suddenly appeared in Africa and started making the news cycle. Israel, which has been Pfizer's human laboratory to test their COVID shots, ran a, quote, war games simulation to prepare for a, quote, deadly new variant, which at the time had not yet been named. They called this future variant Omega, and the simulation was carried out November 11th, 2021. The Jerusalem Post reported dozens of top officials took part in what Prime Minister Naftali Bennett called a COVID-19 war exercise on Thursday to gauge the country's preparedness for the next wave of the pandemic, in other words, the one they're creating. It says, we are starting an unprecedented event here. The Prime Minister said that the start of the exercise, not only on an Israeli scale, but on a global level. We are conducting a war exercise to prepare for a new variant that does not exist yet. Of course it existed. They just hadn't announced it. Anyway, the Omega exercise, as Bennett called it, was held in the format of a war game. The Prime Minister's office said Bennett has regularly referred to the Omega strain, the next harmful COVID-19 variant that has not yet been discovered. A war game is a game of the mind. No physical exercises took place. Bennett said that Israel had surfaced from the Delta wave without locking down, proving that, quote, with proper management, the pandemic can be defeated. Well, yeah, let it go. It would have been defeated a year ago. Anyway, there's more to it. So the fact is they ran a simulation of this. Just like, what was that, the World Economic Forum simulation in October of 2019 before all of a sudden we discovered COVID. So this is all organized, it's all planned. It was 2 weeks after the Fifth Circuit Court, had the mask mandate, banned the vaccine mandate. So it's all part of the plan. This is perfectly normal. We understand how all this works. Anyway, last comment, then I want to get to Shelby. I want to totally change subjects unless Shelby wants to dig into this stuff. Gene?
No, it's good. Interesting.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's amazing the things we find just kind of perusing through. Shelby, where's your theme, Shelby? Oh, there we go.
Yeah, man. Come with Shelby to faraway places, wonderful beaches, exotic foods, meet new and fascinating people as Action Radio cruise and travel reporter Shelby Finette takes you to where dreams become your reality and experiences become your best memories. Yeah, man. Here we go.
Yeah, where can we go? Hey, Shelby, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, we're having a great time. New website coming out. I can't wait to show you. It's going to be great. So within a few days, I hope to have our brand new website for writeyourloss.com. And, of course, I'm going to dash that off to CPAC and everybody else. We have a big press release. And hopefully we'll be at CPAC, which isn't too far from you being in Orlando. And we'll hopefully we'll all meet there in February and everybody can meet everybody else. And we'll see what's going on. But that's my big news of late. And so hopefully I'll be able to teach citizen legislative workshops and do all kinds of things. And maybe we'll even have a table if enough of our Action Radio crew wants to go there. So that's my news.
Exciting. And I love it.
It is.
That's great.
It is. I tell you, we're going to
so
be
that's
huge.
In Orlando?
You know, Action Radio is going to be, you know, we're going to make CNN look like, you know, dwarfs in comparison, you know, in size of listeners. I'm looking at 5 million listeners here. And then we're really going to start to have an impact. Action Radio.
I love it.
Dedicated to fixing everything. So where can we go? What can we do? What's happening?
Well, everything is still open right now. I mean, the only thing that's really shut down is the South Africa area and Africa. There's some restrictions now. I really don't know what's going to happen with this. Like, I don't feel the sensation that the news is, the media is going all for this. Like, it's going to be a trickle-down effect, but I've been wrong, so I really don't know. But yeah, there, you know, the variant, I did not know what you had mentioned, the war games, but it's not.
Well, they always run a scenario before they do a trial. They always do a beta run or whatever it's called. You know, it's like anything else. It's like a prototype. You test it. So they give a little test drive before any of these things come out. They do a test drive. I just find it coincidental. And I was talking to Gene about this earlier, that 2 weeks after the courts start blocking the vaccine mandates, you know, they bring up this new variant to scare the hell out of people. But Dr.
Right.
Cortese, I believe, is the doctor that discovered this. And some of the other doctors in South Africa are saying, well, these are mild cases. And what I've heard about viruses, as they mutate, they do become more contagious. And, you know, that's the whole point, is that they're trying to survive. The virus survives by, you know, infecting more people. But they actually become less virulent, less deadly. And COVID was never that deadly to begin with, unless you're vulnerable to it. You know, they were saying 96 to 97% of the people that they listed as died, you know, with COVID, died with COVID, not from COVID. Only about, you know, 6 or 7% or 5 or 6% of people actually died from COVID. Now, we all know people who died. You know, I'm not saying that for those who died, it's an absolute tragedy. But the thing is, it's only if you take the number of people who died from COVID, it's like half the people that die from the flu every year. So it's a very strange phenomenon that people are panicking over something, you know, not panicking over something else. And it's all hype. It's all media. And so there's this Omicron variant, which, and as it was explained by various doctors, that the variants do come about. They come about mostly because, you know, they get around people who are vaccinated through, antibody-dependent enhancement. And each time they mutate, they become weaker, which makes sense. You look at a mutated anything, any organism, any you know, plant or animal with a bunch of mutations is a weaker variant, you know, like albinos are a weaker variant. They're a mutation. Mutated genes are the ones you want to get rid of. So mutations aren't a good thing. You know, this is the way, this is just my basic science knowledge. This is what I'm going by. Shelby, what do you think? What have you heard?
Oh gosh. As far as the variant goes, I've seen some conflicting, you know, information, whether or not it's serious. However, I would say probably the best case scenario for travel specifically is that the president had just mentioned that, you know, it's something to be concerned about, not worried, not going, you know, to a state of panic. So that was great because it seems like, you know, whatever he says, whatever the media is promoting is how people are feeling. So I thought it was great that he said it was a concern, but nothing to panic about. So that was good for us.
Where's the skepticism,
as far as
though?
Variants, what was that?
Go ahead. Oh, so where's the skepticism? You know, Americans used to be a very skeptical people. I mean, the media said something or the government said something and people are like, well, let's think about this here. And they'd hang around the pool hall or the barbershop or the hair salon or they talk to their friends and family. They're like, well, I don't know about this. Where did all the skepticism go? Unless people are so isolated now that they're not talking to each other. They're only listening to, you know, news and media, especially when news and media is lying to them, which they obviously are because it works. Where'd the skepticism go? Basic American,
I don't remember a lot of skeptics as I grew up at all, actually. I think people really did believe the news, and I believe in free press, and they believed that we were being told the truth. That's where I come from, is a time where people did believe the news, and there wasn't a lot of skepticism. So, you know, I didn't experience that.
Well, that's interesting.
I think now more than ever, a few people are wondering why, but it's all pretty locked up tight. Like, you know, as I said to people that are really involved in this on the daily, like yourself. Mm-hmm. Well played, you know, because they really did a great job at figuring out how to censor information, how to shut mm-hmm. everyone up, how to scare people. And I do think, too, the other thing is that you keep saying, like, it's like a flu and it kills less people than the flu, but nobody knows anyone that died of the flu. No one. So everybody knows someone that died of COVID.
Oh,
that
no, that's not
have.
True. I know people that have died from the flu, not this year,
people?
Though. Pardon me?
Healthy people? Healthy
yes.
people?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've myself and every person I've spoken to, no one knows a healthy person that's died of the flu. Elderly people, yes, but not healthy. But people all know someone that's very healthy that died of COVID. So that's where the fear is. And that's real, because if it could happen to Jane, it can happen to you. And if it happened to Fred, it could happen to you. And so that's, you know, if that's a valid worry, especially not knowing what's going on. But no, I don't know how many listeners, I'd love to hear some comments on that, but how many people know people that have died of the flu that are healthy? I don't. And I know a lot of people. However, I do know people that were healthy that died of COVID. So not a lot.
See, I don't.
You know.
I don't. I know lots of people have had COVID. You know, I think I had it way back in the beginning before
I
we knew
what it was.
I
definitely know people that have had COVID and survived, for sure.
But the mortality rate is less than 1%. You know, it's a very weak virus unless you're very vulnerable to it. And of course, we know what the comorbidities are: heart disease, obesity, you know, and age. You know, those are the biggest factors.
Obese people don't generally die of the flu either. Pretty much anyone who's been alive has been, you know, encountered the flu.
Yeah,
so
I have.
It's something that the body has known.
They say more kids have died of the flu than have died of COVID each year.
I wouldn't disagree with that either. I mean, kids are vulnerable as well, but
it would be interesting to know the people that, you know, that died, that were healthy, that died of COVID too, how they were treated. Because I mean, some just die in their sleep or whatever, you know, just, they don't even go to the hospital. And so it'd be interesting to know what they were being treated or how they were being treated. And then if they were in the hospital and put on a ventilator.
Yeah, Shelby, that's actually
Absolutely.
A good question. I don't want to put you on the spot or I feel like you're being picked on here, but the people that you know that died, and I don't get too personal, but the people or cases you know of people who have died of COVID who were otherwise healthy, did they get remdesivir? Did they go to the hospital?
I don't think so. I don't think
they
got
get
any
early
of
treatment?
That. Kind of
did they get early treatment?
I mean,
or preventives or anything?
You can't even get
yeah.
that stuff in Mexico anymore. So I really rather doubt that they did.
Did they get remdesivir?
And that's really sad because it could have been the thing that saved them, right? And
yeah.
that's a whole that's
not remdesivir.
That's one of the,
remdesivir causes kidney
failure.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the one that's being given in the hospitals that is the most dangerous. In fact, that's what you
oh,
want to avoid. That's why a lot of doctors are recommending don't go to the hospital, because you get a remdesivir treatment, you get kidney failure, which leads to somehow pulmonary edema, which leads to fluid in your lungs, which leads to ventilators, which have a 97% death rate. So the biggest problem, I think, is that if a healthy person gets COVID and then they become an unhealthy person and they don't treat it early and they end up in the hospital, they might get a completely wrong treatment. And if you listen to Dr. Brian Artis, who was at the rally in Pensacola, and this is, I hope to be on his show fairly soon, and some of the other doctors that are speaking around here and across the country, it's the hospital treatments that are wrong that are killing people, not COVID. So it's, again, I don't want to get into all the technical details because I want to ask you about Barbados being a republic. But if you have any more thoughts on this, then we should get to them. And then I got some travel questions.
I thought you were talking about the protocol that you had been feeling that it was a potential cure.
Dr. Zelenko protocols? Yeah. So those are a cure. And they are preventive,
yeah,
and they actually help people avoid, you know, the spike proteins that those who have been vaccinated are shedding. So it's fascinating. Both Dr. Judy Mikovits and Dr. Vladimir Zelenko confirm that either ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine combined with zinc, combined with vitamin D3, combined with vitamin C are both a preventive and a cure. And you just double the dose to make it a cure. And then so these are both successful early treatments that, you know, in most cases, you know, like I say, go to a doctor. Don't take my advice. That's why I'm not giving out the amounts. So go to a doctor, get your prescription, you know, or you can take quercetin without a prescription. It's a non-prescription form of hydroxychloroquine. These things work, and they've been proven to work. And so, yeah, that's the protocol. But this is different what's going on in the hospitals. They're doing remdesivir. The protocol is from the CDC, don't get treated early, which is insane. I can't remember any disease where they ever said don't get treated early. I mean, you always want to treat early. It's always easier to treat early than late. They say wait till you get to the hospital, then you get remdesivir, because you have to be sick enough to get remdesivir, but there's a huge kickback on remdesivir. It's Gilead Industries created this stuff. And in the trials, they had to stop the trials because over 50% of the people died in the trials of remdesivir. But they put it in the hospitals anyway under an emergency use authorization because there's money in it. It's like $3,200 a treatment as opposed to $20 for a week of hydroxychloroquine. I'm not sure what the ivermectin cost is. Anyway, point being that doctors should be allowed to prescribe medicine that works. And we shouldn't have dictates from the federal government, especially when they're in the vaccine business. And it's been proven now that Dr. Fascist has all kinds of patents. In fact, I posted a story recently that he admitted he had to, you know, put his name on the patents by law, which, of course, is a big fraud. But they make their money. The National Institute for Health owns half the royalties or half the patent with Moderna for the Moderna vaccine. I mean, they're in business together. That's a huge conflict of interest. So you can't take treatments from people that make money off a product. You know, the doctors who don't make money off a product, who make money off their services, you know, I'm going to trust much more than a government bureaucracy that is half invested in the product. Their interest is in selling the product and making money. You can't take them. You can't take that advice. Anyway, just a thought.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't disagree. I would say that, you know, if it worked, I would take their advice, but it doesn't seem to be working. So, you know.
Oh. Well, see, the nice thing is if you take hydroxychloroquine, zinc, if you take hydroxychloroquine, zinc, vitamin D, and vitamin C, all you're going to do is boost your immune system. There are no ill effects. It's not going to hurt you.
Right. No. Well,
so that's
the
good
news. Those are things that you can take too much of. But, yes, I agree. That
well, you can. That's why, you know, get the appropriate dose. Yeah, I agree with you there. Hey, I got a question for you. And you may want to talk about other things about this, but Barbados just became a republic. And I'm going to ask Alan about this on Friday when he calls. He calls in at 6 in the morning my time, so 7 your time. So what is going on in Barbados? If they're becoming a republic now, how's that going to change travel? And the fact that they're so closely associated with China, taking all these loans from China, and they're in the Belt and Road program, and if they default on their loans, China's going to own Barbados. What's going on down there? Have you been there? And what's happening? Yeah, I want to go. I'm going to see all the Caribbean, but yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful island. Definitely okay. A very unique island in the Caribbean that has a lot of culture. And it's one of those that really isn't as built up as a lot of the other ones. I was not familiar with the fact that they just became a republic, but all the travelers to Barbados, even if you're fully vaccinated, do need to submit a PCR test before they visit. That's what we know about Barbados. As far as like China, no, I hadn't known that they were in debt to China. That's new news to me.
Well, not in debt yet, but that's the pattern. What China does is they'll give all kinds of money to developing countries, which sounds good. Hey, money. It's free money. Well, it's not free money because the default provisions are so bad. So they create these really enticing loan terms. It's like really low interest, but if you fail to make a payment, then they own whatever it is they're helping invest in. And this is how China's accumulating. I think that's how they got the Panama Canal. That's how they're getting various port cities. They're getting stuff here in the United States. You know, they own a bunch of stuff. And the way they do it, especially with foreign countries, especially developing countries, is offer really enticing loans. And then when the countries default because they're corrupt, mismanaged, whatever, you know, who's our country? We're $30 trillion in debt. You know, so when you talk about mismanagement, it's right here. But the thing is, China will then own and take over whatever it is, you know, they're parasites. And so they basically, the loan is predatory loan.
Sounds like they're really good business people to me.
What's that?
But it sounds like they're making really good business deals for themselves. I mean, you know, no one's
being forced
to take
these deals. Well, as long as they pay the loan. Yeah, as long as they pay the loan, it's fine. But if they don't, you know, there's a price to be paid, and China will then own whatever it is that it's like loan sharking.
Nobody takes those deals. I mean, they shouldn't be taking the deals. I know they have a huge problem in Canada with this because the majority of Canadians can't afford to purchase a home in any of the metropolitan areas, but the foreign money is huge, and they purchase all the homes up, and the home levels rise with costs. And the only people that can afford to purchase is a lot of the Chinese have made it their real estate investment area. And the Canadians told me rent from the owners. So it's a pretty, I've seen that happen for sure already.
See, but they can control that. You don't have to have foreign ownership of your natural resources and your property and your land. You don't have,
they could control
they're
it, but they're not.
Yeah,
you
they're
know,
stupid.
They're looking for the quick money, and I think exactly, you know, with infrastructure and people coming in to save the day, sometimes people don't have choices. It's like the better of a bad choice, you know. If Barbados, and Barbados is a very odd little place where it does need help. It does need money, resources, and it's probably more because of the corruption in their government, which most Caribbean islands have incredibly corrupt governments, you know, that are just taking more for themselves than giving to the people, for sure. That seems kind of a theme out there in the Caribbean. But it wouldn't surprise me in the least if they took those deals, but I still wouldn't, you know, what do I think about it? I think China's not stupid. And if you take these deals, then you're just looking for the fast cash, generally speaking.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's pretty complicated. It's not just one thing or another. But it is a choice that they make. So that's their choice. I don't know what will happen with Barbados. I haven't been there in a few years. But it's a great place to visit and beautiful, beautiful, untainted paradise.
Are they on the cruise like circuit? Mm-hmm. You know, like there's certain areas that always get that get visited. Like, are they Leeward Islands or Windward Islands? Where is it exactly? Where I forgot where Barbados is.
I just know it as the southern run. So when you do St. Kitts, St. Lucia, Antigua, you do Barbados. It's the southern run out of Puerto Rico that generally hits Barbados most often through the cruise ship circuit. And I really recommend that run. It's a great run. You have 6 port days, 7 day cruising. It's out of Puerto Rico, so a lot of the Americans don't even need a passport. It's one of my favorite runs, and it's a great experience. All those islands are really quite nice because they haven't, you know, they've kept pretty natural. But it's a shame to hear. I'm sorry to hear that they're going that direction, but things are changing.
Well, like I said, if they pay their loans back, you know, then they're all set. But if they're corrupt and they just take the money and distribute it and don't manage it wisely, it's going to be a problem.
It's so often that happens because everybody's really, most people are selfish. You know, really, that's the end result is most people are operating from a selfish standpoint. And, you know, the whatever happens in the wake is just what happens, but it's not.
That's when you need a good, strong constitution and laws and limitations of governments clearly spelled out. But even then, what happens here?
It's just, you know, change the constitution. It's just bizarre to me that we have everything in place so well and we're still suffering from the same issues that countries that didn't put this in place. My son the other day was chatting about how the reason people wanted to separate from Britain was because of the taxes. And at that point, the taxes were 10%. And so he looked up the taxes of Britain today and they go from 20 to 45%. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's the same story, but yet.
So when's your son coming back on the show? I want to talk to him. I haven't talked to him since the trans, which was great fun.
You know, I don't really want to speak about politics on a public forum yet. He's too young. To take you know, responsibility for what he's saying.
We can talk chess.
Chess. He just broke his arm, so he's.
Oh no!
So
he has to do his chess with the other arm.
Luckily, if we're thinking luckily, he broke his left arm, so he can still use one arm. But it's definitely a thing. He was in the hospital, and it was a pretty scary adventure, and he had to. He was very close to getting titanium rods and such. So.
Oh, wow. That is serious. Yeah.
He really did it.
Yeah. He was.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he definitely did a good job at this. And poor thing. Anyway, he broke both bones in his lower arm, and he's kind of on the mend. So he would like to come
on. Well, he's young, fortunately. The bones, you know, they mend well at that age. That's, you know, learning experience. Yeah, don't do that again, whatever it was. Don't do that again.
Exactly.
That's
but
why I gave
yeah,
up hang gliding. After I broke my ankle hang gliding because I got my foot caught in a gopher hole. I'm not gonna fly in anything that doesn't have wheels. So never doing this again.
Wow.
Feet are too
Yeah,
bold.
That's
yeah.
really scary. Jesus, hang gliding of all things. My God.
That was fun. Right until my foot got caught. I was having a great time. You know, I'm sailing up there. My daughter, sure. She was flying too. She's lighter, so she got higher up. But yeah, it was great right up until I'm trying to land and I cut my foot. And of course, you know, I'm still moving 30 miles an hour. My leg isn't. Something I had to give with my ankle. So I'm not going to go into details, but yeah, it was pretty bad. I thought, you know what? Wheels. The reason they put wheels on airplanes is so they can roll. And legs are not meant to roll. So no more hang gliding. I'm going to fly. And I've flown in ultralights and trikes. In fact, I did a birthday trike flight with a friend of mine. You know, it's a hang glider with an engine, and I'm sitting in the back of this thing. My hair is streaming back. It's a birthday video. I'll share with you guys sometime. But, yeah, I'll fly pretty much anything as long as it has wheels. You know, gliders. You know, the only thing I didn't fly with wheels, so I took my daughter up in a balloon ride, and that is really fun. So if you ever there's a question for you, too. Do they have, like, I know they got parasailing in the islands. Do they have balloon rides? Do they have other novel ways of travel or zip lining? I guess they have zip lining a lot of places.
I try to remind people, parasailing does seem cool, but I have definitely seen some crazy times with that because the wind, I don't know, I don't think parasailing is as safe as, it has these really, you know, wind pickups, which are detrimental.
Right.
I don't feel like it's a this activity at all, even though it doesn't seem that worrisome. You're asking if they have hot air balloon rides. No, I have never seen that option. They definitely have parasailing a lot of the ports, but not balloon rides. In fact, I'd like to do a trip for the singles to go to one of those places that does the balloons.
Albuquerque.
All at once, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Napa Valley. So, I took my daughter up a Napa Valley balloon ride. Of course, you're up at 4 in the morning because you got to go when the winds come. You know, so the same thing with parasailing. I imagine the best time to go would be first thing in the morning. But, you know, just from my flight instruction, I would think that if you have a wind change direction, and your boat's going, you know, 20 miles an hour one direction, and the wind's coming 20 miles an hour behind you, your parachute is effectively not going in, or you're, you know, not going anywhere because the wind is the same speed as the boat, so you're probably sinking. So when you're going into the wind, it would be a lot stronger. So I guess the ideal would be as little wind as possible, which means the morning. Are they regulated enough safely, do you think? Or you think it's
not regulated.
That's the problem?
Okay,
yeah. All right.
You just
Makes
have
sense.
People that are driving a boat really fast, and there's really not too much more science to it than that. And it's
okay, I was just curious, yeah. Looks like fun.
It's not the safest choice. But most people will get away with it, but every now and again, when the wind picks up, they don't really have a good recourse for it. And anyway, we're traveling. We have a whole bunch of trips booked. We've been booking like crazy. It's exciting, you know, to have people that are excited to go. For our unvaccinated friends, we have our Cancun trip, which is December, the Christmas in Cancun. So that's a wild trip, though. That's not, we have like our sophisticated singles and then our sexy, sassy singles. So, you know, they're two different types of trips. You know, one's loud and crazy and wild, and the other one's more refined and cultural and things like that. So the Christmas in Cancun is booking, our adults only New Year's is booking, and the February crazy cruise that's chartered with a bunch of you know, tops optional at the pool, that type of thing. It's a very wild and fun. That's booking the most. So I guess people want to let their hair down and do things they haven't done
too, apparently.
yeah, exactly. So it's exciting, though, to get the bookings again. And, you know, we're just encouraging everyone to get travel insurance naturally in case something changes. Right. And, you know, it's definitely a whole new world. And the cruise ships are still 100% vaccinated. So hopefully that will lighten up at some point. But no idea when.
We need Vax Choice travel. For those that choose not to get a mRNA GMO shot, you know, I think that if there was a smart entrepreneur right now, the best thing they could do would be to find places, you know, convince one island to say, you know what, we're going to go Vax Choice. We're going to make it optional. If you want to be vaccinated, that's great. If you don't want to be vaccinated for the Alpha strain that died out last year and you're not worried about the more milder strains coming out now, even though the worst strain only had, you know, had less than 1% mortality anyway, you know, come to us. So this is why it's just, like there are going to be health companies that are going to come up. Go ahead.
Right, but Mexico's even doing that. They're not making people do the choice. And the one post that I made about our unvaccinated friends, I got so much flack from people saying, are you crazy? Why would you go to Mexico unvaccinated? And I said, well, you know, really, we're offering for everyone, and I would like to respect everyone's choices, and we are not crazy. In fact, 35 million people traveled to Mexico last year and the year before when there was no vaccine. So, you know, I'm definitely not crazy, but it's amazing the mentality and the pushback even of suggesting that that's still going on, not even that it's our idea. So I don't know how a country could really overcome this social sentiment and not be putting themselves at risk because they
evidence,
be the ones saying that
evidence,
they're not doing
documentation, it. Studies, I mean, they're out there. They could just use the evidence.
It doesn't seem to matter for the masses, though, so I don't know why, you know, I don't think that would work for one country. They're not, it just doesn't seem like that's the sentiment that people have made up their minds regardless of what they're going to read. So
yeah, but they're not getting all the evidence. We've talked about this before, that they're getting one side of the story, and I believe the side they're getting is lies. I believe it's total distortions. I believe it's all designed to lead people to get more and more vaccines. You know, if one, you know, you get one, then you have to get another one. Now you got a booster. And now you're going to have to get, you know, we have all these variants, and they say, well, we're going to have a new vaccine for the variant. You know, every time when does this stop? When is enough enough?
Right.
You know, and this is the problem with this. It's a never end. It's a marketing scheme, you know, and so every variant's a marketing scheme. I believe that the marketing scheme was rolled out now because it's 2 weeks after the court started saying no, you know, and this is a way to try and generate fear with people, try and intimidate the judges, try and declare the emergency again. In fact, just before I bring on Josie, how much time do you have? Do you have a few more minutes, Shelby, or do you have to go?
I've got 2 minutes.
Hey, Greg, I just want to ask Shelby, don't take time today to answer it, but what are your favorite places to visit? You know, when you think about traveling for people that may not have traveled much, and as I said, you don't have to say it today, but another time, what are your most favorite places to visit, maybe as with a family or just
sightsee,
whatever?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a question I get a lot. And, you know, I tell people, I'm not trying to be coy, but I really like a lot of different things. Myself, personally, I like warm weather. I don't care for the cold, whereas most people will tell you Alaska is probably their favorite cruise and favorite experience. I liked it, but it wasn't my favorite at all because I don't like the cold weather and I'm kind of from an area like Alaska. But Bora Bora is the most romantic place I've ever been. I believe that that's a very special place. And then with my family, I really prefer to do Caribbean cruising because it's great for all of us. And there's so much to do for the kids. And there's also so many fun things to do for the adults. And they have a great kids program. But that southern run that I mentioned before that includes Barbados, that's really the best one, in my opinion, because it's got the most unique islands and you get the most islands. Plus, it's every day. There's no sea days. So I don't care for any sea days because then the ship is very full. And I much prefer to have, you know, every single day be a port day. So half the people at least are off the ship. So you don't feel so crowded. So those off the top of my head are my favorite places, the Southern Caribbean, Bora Bora. I did love New Zealand and Australia, though. Those were New Zealand specifically. Australia was actually kind of normal, but New Zealand was very special. I would recommend that to anyone. And then going out in China, not that that's going to be big on anyone's list, but taking a cruise to China was great, and I really recommend cruising to China because you don't want to stay there. The food's horrible, but yeah, it's just the only place in my whole life I can't even eat. It's not even real food. And then I'll end with one other thing that I think is really interesting because we have a lot of different friends, some of which are vegetarians. And my husband's been telling me for a couple of years now that they're going to repackage crickets and other insects and tell us it's food because they don't want us to eat meat anymore. And they've been doing that in China for a long time where they eat insects and worms and oh my gosh, really things that you would never consider food. And they don't smell like food either. It smells horrid. However, just this holiday, one of our vegetarian friends came over and They're calling it something different, acalens or something. It's like a totally foreign word, but it's just dried crickets. And they're selling cricket protein bars for $10 a bar.
Are they crunchy?
Just like that.
Or
and
soft?
I was like, oh, no, they're starting to convince us to eat bugs now. So look out for that. And
are they crunchy or soft? I have to know.
I actually don't know. I'm not trying. No, I'm still an old
sorry.
Fat. I'm going to continue to eat my meat and whey. And, you know.
All right.
But,
let's
but
see, we
anyway,
get Justin on and bring her in this. Yeah,
yeah
anyway,
and I'm
going to
let you guys go. I'm Shelby. You're fabulous. Thanks so much. Have a great day, guys.
You too.
Thanks, Shelby. Yeah, that's a question for you. I'll message Shelby about doing, you know, some of our favorite places, but that's pretty funny. Josie, well, now that you're here, let me get to her theme real quickly because we have a couple minutes and then.
She started off as a poor child in Nicaragua, living under communism. And now she is a prosperous small businesswoman with a great family, living the dream as an American citizen. Josie Cossey knows all about both worlds, communism and freedom. She knows where your dreams can come alive and where they can die very quickly. And so her report is as much from experience as knowledge, and her passion and crusade are very real. With connections all over Central and South America, Josie brings you the world south of the U.S. border from personal experience, living, not just reporting, what's happening. And now, the Latina Report with Josie Cossey.
Hey, what happened in Honduras? They got a leftist in office.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great time.
I wanted to say quickly, I know Shelby travels all over the world, but since we know what's happening in Mexico, it's a little dangerous for Americans to go to Mexico. The only safe place at the moment to travel is Cozumel because it's in a tiny little island, you know. But the other areas, I don't recommend at all if you're going to get off the ship and wander around, you know, like you go and do different activities.
Well, that's the point,
because
though.
Because a lot of ports
is to wander around, yeah.
Because a lot of cartels are taking over a lot of the businesses, hotels. It's not good at all. So
is that with money that they're gaining from the south of the southern border operations and the drug smuggling, and they're now investing in tourist areas?
Well, for a few years, the cartels with Muslim are taking over a lot of the hotels, some of the restaurants, business, including people that make tortilla in the streets. They barely make any money, and they also are blackmail. Like, you have to give me so much money for this, if not.
Oh yeah, protection.
And, Yeah, they were killing a lot of people, a lot of tourists, but of course you don't hear it because they don't want to lose business. But it's a little dangerous to go to Mexico. I will not go to Mexico. And that was told to me by a State Department friend that I have. So
it sounds like the early days of Vegas, you know, when they were mafia run, that, you know, if you actually start winning a lot of money, they'd take you out and, you know, bury you in the desert somewhere. I mean, this is some pretty horrendous mafia tales of Vegas, but this is what it sounds like. If the cartels are running the tourist areas, and it used to be, as I understand it, the Mexican police were very good at protecting the tourists, especially when I was on the West Coast, and I took my daughter to the Mexican Riviera, Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan, and Puerto Vallarta. And we had a great time, and there were police everywhere. You know, I felt pretty safe there. We swam with dolphins. We saw the Mexican National Dance Company in an evening fabulous performance. We went, you know, wandering all over Cabo and Mazatlan with no problems whatsoever. But I definitely thought and heard that we were protected in those days, and this was in the 90s.
Not anymore,
so yeah. Yeah, interesting. Okay, good to know.
It's just a little dangerous. I mean, unless you're going with police or security from the ship, I don't know what they're doing, but yeah, it's not that good right
they're
now.
They're probably not going there.
I wanted to mention this morning another small group of illegals, a small caravan of 300, just arrived in Tapachula, Mexico, you know. So what they're doing right now, small groups, so they don't overwhelm, they think, the news, so people are not reporting. So, but it's a chaos at the border of Mexico. The Mexican people are like, they had it with all this. They're upset with their president. But I've been telling a lot of Mexicans that I personally know here in Pensacola, from the beginning that the Mexican people were electing a communist president, that he's very close friends with Maduro's in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, I think you're dreaming. I said, no, I'm not, because I know. Remember we talked about it a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah. We are ahead of the news on a regular basis.
We know.
That's what we do here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I like your reports,
because
you are so far ahead.
Yeah. So many are not reporting that the Biden leaders are still saying there's no crisis at the border at all. They're lying. They're lying to the American people and to the world. There is a crisis. People are showering in the streets. They're doing the business in the streets. There's a 19-month-old little girl that just died from overheat, you know, walking.
Wow.
I don't know how long the parents brought her walking. But a lot of these children are not their children. They're kidnapping all these kids from poor parents in Nicaragua, Honduras, El Salvador, you know, different different countries, and they're bringing them. There's a lot of children from Jamaica coming too, and a lot of young people from Jamaica arriving too, not just from Haiti. But the situation is it's getting worse. But I remember somebody was saying that Biden says he wants 30 million illegals to come to this country.
Yeah, they want to displace the white people. He wants white people to be a minority. Wasn't that ambitious? What a lofty social engineering goal that is. Yeah, rather than just have natural population development. Well, here's the thing, too. I heard that Mexico was the Remain in Mexico policy got ordered by a federal judge. Did you hear about that?
Mm-hmm. But Greg, the one responsible of what we're going through right now is the United Nations.
Uh-huh.
Just the key point right there, the United Nations is involved with George Soros and the Obamas, because Joe Biden is in another world, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones organizing the whole thing with the president from Mexico. Because, see, if the president from Mexico used his army, his military, to stop these people, they will not come in, because everybody entering Mexico, they have an ID. All of the Spanish and people from all over the world, they cannot enter Mexico without an ID, and they all have an ID. And then they throw the ID right before they're going to cross our border, so they don't know who they are, and they get everything for free. I tease my Mexican girlfriend here, Adriana, because she goes, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. And, you know, she's always, you know, telling me things. I said, look, to go to Mexico, come back, throw all your IDs, and you'll get a lot of money. You'll get everything for free. And she starts laughing, you know. But it's sad what the situation is being organized to exhaust our country. And this is well planned, well organized from years
ago. Yeah, it's peasant class. It's what I call the great replacement. We've talked about this, where for Americans, we have COVID shots that are injurious or deadly. We have abortions. We have limitations of money. We have, lockdowns, you know, all these things, all these mandates on Americans. And for illegal aliens, there's no mask mandates. There's no vaccine mandates. There's, you know, up to $500,000. You know, there's all these other things coming in here. There's no restrictions, no rules. They can vote. They can get driver's licenses. You know, they're treated better than Americans. And the whole point of this is to limit the number of Americans and increase the number of the peasant class, so that we have a majority population of people that are used to corrupt governments and being subservient and being taken care of. I mean, that's plainly obvious to me what's going on here. So the way out of that is to have certain state governments, you know, like hopefully Florida, we're talking about here, with illegal alien free zones, with civil asset forfeiture, with really enforcing all the welfare benefit laws, so that nobody gets any money if they're not an American citizen or a permanent resident. You know, you can make it impossible for illegal aliens to live here, and you don't need the federal government to do it. You do it by seizing the companies that hire illegal aliens. You do it by seizing the houses that they live in. Then, of course, the bank is out the property, so banks are going to start checking citizenship. So there are ways to do this. So you know, you don't have to round people up. You don't have to go to extremes. You know, and I think I've thought this fairly well through, that, you know, if you can make it impossible to live in an area, then they have to go somewhere else, okay? So what you want to do is funnel these people to the leftist states like California, Michigan, Wisconsin, Massachusetts, you know, mm-hmm. Connecticut, you know, Vermont, all these places that, you know, first of all, didn't want the citizenship question on the census, that sort of pride themselves on being sanctuary cities. So you want to funnel the illegal aliens to the sanctuary cities, make it their problem, and then deny them federal funding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, the, you know, in fact, if Trump gets back, and hopefully, you know, if he does, we're going to, I get a chance to talk to him and straighten him out on this COVID problem. But he, you know, yeah. But the best thing the federal government can do is isolate the cities and states that are harboring illegal aliens and simply cut off all, I mean, literally all their funding, their highway funds, their education funds, everything.
Yes.
If you do that, you make it impossible for those states to function without any federal money, which no state can function because
mm-hmm.
there's so much federal money
yeah.
that's taken from the states and then given back. And say, okay, well, fine, you got to get rid of your sanctuary cities. You got to get rid of your illegal aliens. You got to start having voter ID at the polls. You got to have a fingerprint ID at the polls, you know, your bill. You know, you got to start doing all these
yes.
things. We're not going to give you any money. I mean, the problem is easy to solve, and it doesn't require
yeah.
rounding up anybody. You literally make it impossible for illegal aliens to function in a place, and they won't be there. They'll go a place they can't function.
Well,
and then you help the other countries.
When Donald Trump returns, we're going to have our country back to normal.
Yeah, but what's he
going
to do? Is he going to go to the extremes that we're talking about? Is he going to make it? Is he going to cut off the money to the states or work with Congress?
We're
going to
change.
Are they going to solve the vote?
We're
going to
change. We're going to change a lot. Once
yeah.
all these people get arrested, you'll see. You'll see.
Okay.
It's hard to believe. I know people are impatient. I was impatient.
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. I'm waiting
soon,
for the first state to decertify. When a state decertifies, you know, fraudulent Biden electors, then I'll get encouraged. Until then, they're the gelding old party. They're a bunch of geldings. I got no use for them.
Well, I don't think all the states are going to finish the investigation. Donald Trump is going to show the evidence with the intelligent military.
Well, he better.
And
what is he waiting for?
They have evidence. They have evidence in their hands 100%. They got
okay.
flash drives. They know who did it, when, who's involved.
Hmm.
He is controlling Space Force, and a lot of people do not know. But anyway, I wanted to say, in Mexico, I guess somebody grabbed the Mexican flag and put it upside down like we do here when the country
oh.
is in distress, you know.
Oh.
And some of the people were upset. They said, what the heck is this? Why are they putting our flag upside down? Blah, 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 you know. And somebody was saying, what is the meaning of it? So a lot of people were commenting, and I said, when the country is in distress, you know, that's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Greg, Peru, Ecuador, Spain, Italy, Costa Rica now, they're all in it with this fake vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
mandating to their people. My nephew already got his second shot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
His sister just died. I know, I'm very upset because his sister, my niece, 40 years old, you know, we think her husband poisoned her. And now her only son left. He just took both shots. And
well, the shots make cancer grow faster. We know the shots increase the growth of cancer radically. So this we know.
I know.
So. Yeah,
and the reason for the boosters now is because they're running out of COVID-infected people. So they're scaring people to death with the new virus
mm-hmm.
So you can get the boosters. I cannot believe how many people I have talked to yesterday. Oh, I just got the booster. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm just like shaking
you mean the
my
alpha
head.
Booster? They got the alpha booster? That's what these shots are. These are the alpha strain. In fact, I'm going to bring Paulette on here, and you may not be finished
and
but she's been on for a couple.
And
of,
they're not
yeah,
gonna,
go ahead.
And they're not going to stop. You know, they're not going to stop
no.
at all. You
Why
know?
Should they?
They're
going to
continue and continue and continue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very disappointed with Costa Rica and Peru.
Yeah.
My girlfriend doctor, she's here. I was dancing Zumba with her a couple nights ago, and she thinks that I'm crazy that they're. She said, I'm a doctor. I know exactly the truth, and the truth is that the vaccines are good and all that. She will not listen to me at all. She hasn't
wow.
talked to me for a year and a half because she's upset that she said this is about politics, not about vaccine. I said, no, sweetie,
well,
you're wrong.
You challenge,
but anyway.
Yeah. You challenge her assumptions.
Yeah.
See, assumptions
yeah.
are stronger than truth. People will die with their assumptions, literally. You know, with their,
oh,
with,
but
they,
you know,
they,
Greg,
they will
who's
not,
convincing
yeah,
the Latino people? Who's
mm-hmm.
convincing them? about the vaccines and the boosters and all that, Univision, which is a Spanish TV channel, and Telemundo. Univision with Jorge Ramos, criminal that he's attached to the belly button of Hillary Clinton. So these people are in panic in Peru. With they have to have the shot. They said, if you haven't had the shot, don't get near me. They are, I don't know. It's just, it breaks my heart.
Which is crazy, because anybody looks at the evidence, the countries that have the most shots, the most lockdowns, the most masks are the sickest. They're the ones that are having the problems. Look at Israel.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, Israel just ran a little scenario recently. They had their little COVID war thing. But yeah, the country, you know, and the states, look at Florida and Texas, the states with the least mandates, least lockdowns, you know, least requirements are doing fine. Why? Mm-hmm. Because this thing would die out if we just let it, you know, and I got my timeline. There's three times when this thing should have died out. One, in July of 2020, mm-hmm. when natural immunity was taken over, and it was the trend lines from April 15th to July 4th were to zero. The peak of COVID, the real COVID virus, the alpha strain, the peak of COVID was, it started in January, it peaked in April, and it was gone by July, until the CDC brought it back with lockdowns, masks, panic, lowered immune systems, you know, tragedy, drug addictions, depressions, spousal abuse, sexual assaults, and everything else that happened with the lockdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Destruction of life savings. So that all contributes to lower immune systems. They know that. See, people don't understand that the lockdowns and the masks were not designed to save you. They were designed to kill you. They were designed to stress you out so that your immune system would be lowered, so you'd be more susceptible to COVID, because they wanted to bring it back. So they brought it back, and then it was dying out again in the fall of 2020, right? Well, what happened in December of 2020? Well, the first, you know, experimental use authorization, genetic modified, you know, shot came out. And, of course, it wasn't long before the deaths increased. There were more deaths in 2021 than in 2020. Why? Because we had the vaccines. Without the vaccines, this would have died out. And what did vaccines create? Variants. The first variant they created was the Delta variant. Okay, and then that was dying out. So, and then they had the mandate, the vaccine, because the variants were dying out. Delta was going away, so they had to sell a product somehow. So they brought out the mandates. Okay, well, the mandates were overturned by the courts, Fifth Circuit and another court recently. For the health workers, they don't have to, they can't be forced to take it. Okay. So what do? You bring up another variant to sell the product.
It's
and so you
criminal.
Bring the disease back again.
Criminal.
And each time they do it, it's a weaker strain. It's more contagious, but it's a weaker strain. The worst cases they found in South Africa were mild. You know what mild means? Sniffles. You know, mild means a little sore throat. Mild means you feel a little, I'm not quite 100%. You know, that's what a mild case is.
And the criminal Anthony Fauci says that COVID is going to stay with us forever. I was like, you
I think
criminal.
He's gonna say, well, I gotta, here's my conspiracy theory for you. I'm gonna make Paulette that line live. And I don't have a theme for you yet, Paulette, but I will. Here's my theory about Fauci.
Can you guys hear me?
We can now, but I had you on hold for a while.
Hear.
Well, let me make one more point here first. The thing is, this is my conspiracy theory for Josie, and I'm not big on these, but you're the perfect person to talk to. He looks way too good for somebody who's 80. So he's either lying about his age, or he's got access to some wonder product. You know, some
adrenal.
Youthful. You think he's on adrenochrome? Why does he look so
all
young and
them.
Healthy? At okay,
all of them.
All right,
all of them. Great.
So if you want to investigate that, if you can check into why he looks so youthful at his age, and he's talking about he is science and he is the public good and he knows, you know, he's the masterful one, and the public has to subvert their constitutional rights in favor of what he determines the public good is. The guy's a little fascist. Well, as we all know, I call him Dr. Fascist. Oh, I've added a new word: genocidal, psychopathic, narcissistic, vaccine drug pusher. That's his new title.
I love it.
I know you do. That's why I said it. Anyway, let's
good morning, Paulette.
Good morning,
Paulette.
Hola, chica. Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Hola. Muy bien, muy bien. Gracias.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yes, we cooked two turkeys, one for my sick friend in the hospital family, and one for us. It was good.
So you were nice. You were you naughty or were you nice?
Both.
You do realize we have an audience out there worldwide, so I just want to make the conversation a little more general. Thank you for having your chat.
Absolutely. Just trying to, bring it back to Naughty to Nice, which is really what I'm here for, to discuss food that is naughty and food that's nice.
Well, let me just make sure that that Josie. First of all, Josie, I want to go with my conspiracy theory. If you have any thoughts on that. And Josie, did you have anything else for us? I want to make sure that we got you.
No, that's it.
Completely.
I'll be listening to you guys, okay? God bless.
Okay. Well, sounds good. All right. Thanks, Josie. Mm-hmm. All right, Paulette. I don't have a theme for you yet, but I will. I'm going to find some nice food music. And, of course, if you want to give me a new title for your show, so far we're still what I got you listening to, Don't Eat Yourself to Death. We got to find something else besides that. What should we call your report? You got a name for me yet or what?
Well, I mean, I gave you a few names, but, you know, I mean, you like the one that, that's there right now, but I'll think of some others too, and we'll come up with.
I probably
good,
buried it in my notes somewhere.
That
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
So anyway,
okay.
But
how
anyway,
was your Thanksgiving?
So I'm glad to be here. So and actually, you know, this is definitely the season where we start getting a little bit worried about Santa Claus and whether or not we're naughty or nice. So it's a great time for me to discuss the naughtiness and the niceness of some foods. So that's what I want to talk about today.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, actually, I think you're going to enjoy this because I'm going to talk about some different celebrities and what their diets are and what's naughty about them and what's nice about them.
Oh, my. Well, don't they have to be beautiful and attractive and handsome? And don't they have to, I mean, aren't their diets regulated by their agents or their publicists or any of those kind of folks?
Well,
you don't see a lot of fat actors.
Well, they're very lucky that they have usually chefs that kind of keep them in line. They probably have life coaches. And I mean, you know, I don't know how many of them take adrenochrome. So, you know, they're especially lucky in that sense. But,
do you know what? Is that real stuff? I mean, I've heard it. We've had a special report.
I don't know. I mean, right. You know, I think there are things in this world that we will never know about. And
I'm still
going to
ask.
I can't help it. You know, it is kind of weird, you know, but I don't know. Who knows? I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know anything for certain, so I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything I don't know for certain.
Okay.
I mean,
I might.
You always have to kind of wonder, but I can pick on their diets because those are usually pretty public information. And, you know, actually starting with one diet that I don't really know that well, but imagine that, and that is Adele's diet. I don't know if you've heard of that one, and that is it's called a sirtuin diet, the sirt food diet. That's how she lost all her dramatic
Did you say Adele?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, she used to have a little extra padding, if I remember.
Yes. And of course, you know, now she's had dramatic weight loss, and she looks fantastic. And, of course, you know, the bad thing about her, this is going to be terrible what I'm about to say.
I'll go for it.
Just warn you in advance, but
right.
Now she looks
Section
so
radio.
Good.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Now she looks so good. Will she still be in those really bad, toxic relationships anymore so that she, you know, won't be able to write
about?
As good? Well, you know, you really need those toxic relationships to write that really good music. Nobody happy writes good music.
Well, you know, you look at most writers, they're alcoholics, they're depressed, they're drug addicts,
you know,
and they write the best stuff. James Joyce, I think, a classic example, Edgar Allan Poe, I think, and some of our great writers, they're, especially the Southern writers, they're all whiskey, you know, folks. And, you know, I think Mark Twain, you know, took a sip, you know, on a regular basis. But, I think some of our best writers, that sort of goes for the territory.
Yeah,
Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
Remember her, blues singer? Tragic
yes.
life. One of the best singers ever.
Of course.
Yeah. Horrible relationship.
I know. Yeah. It's sad, but I mean, we can also relate to them. You know, I mean,
that's you know. Do we have any normal people singing? Pat Boone. The Osmond family.
I mean, I know that there are some pappy people out there, but, you know, I don't know how good they're, you know, I mean, like, it seems like the happier people got, the worse their music got, but I don't know. Is that terrible to say?
You know,
I don't know.
That's an interesting study. I mean, can you sing the blues if you've had a, you know, a happy life? I don't know. You know, what do you suffer from? You know, I wouldn't do action radio if I had a perfectly normal childhood. I'd be happy. I wouldn't go through all this, you know, so I think. There's something to be said for having a crazy life. Gene, was that you? Oh, wait, let me see. Oh, Gene, your line's live. So
okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, so what's really cool, and actually this is something I didn't actually even know about, so I love researching new things. So anything I say about this is all new to me too. So, but I mean, there are some things about it that I already knew, but some things I didn't. But the whole sirtuin proteins, the sirt foods, they're calling that, you know, perhaps new superfoods, but none of the things on this diet really are new, like dark chocolate and green tea. These are the things that we've already known about. And these also, the diet actually asks you to have a lot of green juices, which, you know, that's nothing new at all.
What's CERT mean? Let's get a definition here for how they're classifying these foods. And we can,
okay,
we can analyze
there are
it
actually
better.
Types of sirtuin is
spell
certain
it.
Types
how do you
of
spell
protein.
It?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you there? I'm sorry.
Yep. I just wonder how you spell it. I'm trying to analyze the word.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't hear you say
okay.
spelling. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine.
So, well, they call CERT foods S-I-R-T, but the sirtuin protein is spelled S-I-R-T-U-I-N. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And according to what or, you know, calorie restriction, the sirtuin proteins are the ones that tell the body to burn more fat. For energy and improve insulin sensitivity. And so, you know, some of the studies they've done on mice.
Insulin sensitivity? Oh, that
yes.
sounds like a touchy-feely word. Do you have insulin resistance?
I think we
need to counsel your insulin. Let's make you insulin sensitive. Let's hold hands, group hug, and we'll make your insulin sensitive to your body's needs.
I think it's physical sensitivity, not emotional sensitivity. I don't think it's your emotional IQ that's going to affect your insulin.
Oh, wait a minute. I was on a roll then. What are you talking about? That was going to be.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Oh, my gosh.
I'm
well,
typing at the
so
same time, too.
Something else. So they say those sirtuins also tell the body to burn more fat for energy and, that they also reduce inflammation. Now, this is a big deal, okay? In
yes.
fact, they say that they inhibit the development of tumors and slow the development of heart disease and Alzheimer's. So, you know, this whole month of November, I've been talking about brain food. So, you know, finding out that there might be some new brain food that I didn't know about is very exciting, too. So I'm going to look a little bit more into this whole, you know, CERT food thing. So let's see here exactly, you know, some of the things.
I got a definition for you. You're going to love this. This is from Science Direct.
Mm-hmm.
Mitochondrial sirtuins. Now, this is brand new to me, too, by Wen Yang. It says mitochondrial sirtuins, SIRT3-5, are part of the sirtuin family of NAD-dependent deacylases and ADP. That's adenine triphosphate. That's the stuff that keeps your energy going. Oh, that's ATP I'm thinking of. I don't know what ADP is. Anyway, while mitochondrial sirtuins have been the focus of research for the last decades, it's terrible English, by the way. Scientists can't write. Many aspects of sirtuin biology remain unknown to other members of the sirtuin family, the activity of mitochondria. They don't tell me anything. Tell me what this stuff does. Oh, here we go. Mitochondrial sirtuin activity has been implicated in aging and the development of numerous diseases, including cancer. I thought it's supposed to be good for you. Neurodegeneration and insulin resistance. Huh. They've been implicated. So this sounds really bad. In this chapter, we will discuss the different functions and regulation of the mitochondrial sirtuins under stress conditions. We will highlight the aspects of sirtuin biology. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, this sounds awful. Epigenetic mechanisms of sirtuins in dermatology. This stuff sounds horrible. Now, what I'm guessing is these are foods that counteract the effects of sirtuins
yeah,
in your mitochondria.
Send me a link
would that be
to
right?
that article. Check it out.
Okay, fine.
But, well, I'm sitting here looking at the green juice that you're supposed to drink every day on this diet. And so I'm going to give you the pros and cons of it. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, even on the, like, a ketogenic diet, they encourage you, like, if you're eating a good ketogenic diet, you know, what they call clean ketogenic, then you are eating a ton of green. And the green is so important for
– what's that mean?
Well, remember, we've talked about this before. So when your body, you know, uses fat for energy instead of carbohydrates, switches to a ketogenic state. But anyways, so even like a lot of greens in a ketogenic diet, but it's a carb-restrictive diet. Okay. a ketogenic one is. But going back to this green juice and this cert food, which I think is pretty cool. And of course, you know, I would love to look like Adele and sing like her. And if I could drink this juice every day and look like her and
well,
sing like
sing
her.
Well, sing for us. Let's find out. You want to break into a song here? We'll judge. Jean,
how about
what do you think?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, as much pain as I've had in my life, maybe I haven't had quite as much as hers. I don't know. But anyways.
How are your relationships?
Oh, my gosh.
See, there you go. See, you're perfect for the show. You know, you're among friends.
Yeah, maybe.
I think all of us have terrible relationships. We're all ADHD. We all suffer from hyperactivity, you know, and this is what drives the show.
I don't think that just having pain in your life is a guarantee you'll be able to sing really good or look good either. So, unfortunately.
Oh, it can't hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I try, but I would drink this green juice if I knew it would even benefit, you know, my brain so that I can like think better. But this green juice says 2.5 ounces of kale, which, you know, almost every diet, I'm going to tell you all these diets that, you know, I have down on my list of these celebrities, keto, I'm just going to go through them real fast and we'll come back to them, but keto, intermittent fasting, vegan, paleo, and now the cert food. Those five are kind of the ones I'm kind of picking apart. And I think they're the most popular really right now, more than anything. But I think in all of these diets, kale would be encouraged. And the second thing is arugula. Now, I don't know about you, but arugula, I'm not a huge fan of arugula. It's got a little bit of bitter.
If you're a Californian, you eat every day. You have to have your arugula salad in California. That's especially the Bay Area, San Francisco. If you're one of the hoity-toity upper crust of San Francisco who goes wine tasting every weekend, you need your arugula salad with your Chardonnay. I'm sorry, that's just how it goes. You just have to have it.
You know, I'm sorry, but it just sounds like something that an old car would do. Arugula, arugula.
It's a great word, though. It's like metrosexual.
Arugula.
You know, if you can work arugula into it, we're hang on. Go ahead.
I mean, it's just... It sounds like an ugly word. Arugula, arugula, arugula.
No,
anyway.
It sounds like you sing it very well. I don't see any problem with it.
All right. So you got kale, arugula, parsley,
sage,
whatever.
Rosemary, and thyme.
I mean, I prefer parsley, you know, on, you know, a big bowl of pasta, but.
Okay.
And, celery.
Well, wait a minute, Paulette. If you have parsley, don't you have to have sage, rosemary, and thyme?
No.
She once was the true love of mine. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Celery, which, by the way, you know, I have read that if you eat celery, as soon as you start chewing on the celery, your blood pressure goes down. So yesterday, I got a new phone, and I was trying to transfer the data and all that kind of stuff. And for most people, that's a joyous time of the year to get a new phone. But for me...
Of course.
It is just like stress 101. I mean, and so, man, I got a bowl of celery and some almond butter and just like inhaled it. I mean, because it was like just talking made me so stressed. I was like, I got to breathe, which I don't have blood pressure issues anyway. But, you know, I think if I ever were to have blood pressure issues, it would be because of cell phones or technology.
Well, actually, here's an interesting question for you, though. No, this is a serious question, though. The radiation from cell phones. Like, I never put a cell phone up to my head. Never. It's always, you know, I always use the speaker. And whenever I have to use the cell phone on the show, it's sitting on a stack of books, you know, far enough away from me that it's not up to my head. Never, 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 never. Does the increase in radiation in our society from Wi-Fi, from computers, from cell phones increase stress? And does that cause, you know, dietary and other problems? Does it affect your electromagnetic balance, for example?
Everything fake we do is causing stress and problems for us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, for everything that there's a benefit, there's a negative side too. So all the things that are helping us are killing us too. So we should all get rid of our technology and cell phones and everything.
No, we wouldn't have action radio.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, almost everything on this thing is green because you got kale, arugula, parsley, celery, at green apple, lemon, and matcha green tea. So only the lemon and ginger are the only things that are not green in that
the
juice.
Chocolate.
I'm making that, by the way, I'm making that juice today. I'm going to see if I look anything closer to Adele tomorrow than just from having this juice. So.
Okay. An article here, top 10 certain foods for good health, and I put it in your messenger. So if you're curious, I'll put it on my Facebook page. But yeah, they've got some interesting things here. And what's fascinating about this is the same stuff that I find in most healthy diets. Surgeon foods. Foods that contain high levels of surgeon activators known as CERT foods include kale, olives, green tea, fish oil, onions, cocoa, black currants, turmeric, citrus fruits, miso soup, capers, parsley, tofu, and other soy products. Because I'm not going to have soy products because they have too much plant estrogen, and as a guy, that's the last thing I need. So, but it's
exactly.
But turmeric, citrus, black currants, cocoa, onions, fish, you know, that stuff's on every diet.
Yeah, well, you say every diet, it's not on a vegan diet, so, you know, but just to tell you, that's the naughty. Going through these diets and discussing to me what is naughty and what is nice, mm-hmm. if I were Santa Claus watching people eat their mini meals.
If you're Santa
meals.
Claus, you'd be a fat old white guy.
Yeah, so, well, how do you know he's white? It's like Santa Claus is our Santa. But anyway.
No, St. Nicholas was a European white dude. Santa Claus is white.
No,
sorry, folks, Santa Claus is a white guy.
Yeah, the problem with tofu, you know, that I have, the biggest problem that I have with tofu is I have thyroid, and thyroid is definitely an endocrine disruptor is what they call it. And
ooh.
So
and your endocrine
you know,
system is for the
your
unscientific?
Thyroid. It's your it has to do with your pituitary gland and how your body functions. And so if you have thyroid issues, particularly I have hypothyroidism, but any kind of thyroid issues, thyroid disease, then, you know, you definitely should be avoiding soy in particular. And in addition to being an endocrine disruptor and, as you said, an estrogen, you know, encourager, I should say. But in addition to that, it's usually probably
man boobs.
Probably one of the most GMO crop you can find. Of course, you know, you can find some that are, you know, organic or whatever, but it's actually pretty hard to find soy that's most people just buy whatever kind of soy they find in the store.
Well, I got a question. So soy fascinates me. I mean, Asians have used soy for thousands of years, but they fermented it. And you've talked about the value of fermented foods. And soy sauce does not have the estrogen that soy does. So how did – you may not even know this, but how did the soybean come to be like the number one filler, emulsifier, so you know, extra ingredient in all these different foods? I mean, everything from salad dressing to everything else has soy in it. I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to have soy, so I don't have soy products in my house. If it's got soy in it, sorry. I found a honey mustard dressing, Paul Newman, that has no soy in it. So that's the one I use, right? So I don't need that stuff, soybean oil – just because it's so GMO'd and it's got so many bad qualities to it. But how did that plant come to take over so much of our food production? Do you have any knowledge on that?
To answer your question about soy, I'm not completely sure, but I do know with corn, which also was an innocent crop, the government found that it was very cheap to, start funding it basically. And so that's why corn, because it's so cheap and the government was able to come in and regulate it and replicate it. As a result, that's why it's in everything. That's why corn's in everything. That's why corn starch, corn syrup, corn everything is in everything. With soy, I'm not so sure if that's the case or not. I know for sure with corn, but I kind of wonder with soy too, because I had a friend who was like literally allergic. Like she would go into anaphylactic shock if she had soy. And so she couldn't have any products with soy in it. And I was shocked how many things actually had soy. And it's exact same thing with corn. Corn is the exact same way. It's in everything. People don't realize it's in your cereals and your ketchup and in so many different things. So you're going to have to watch out for it. But so are you interested to know who?
That's our hotel bell, because I think Jean wanted to make a comment here. I want to get her in the conversation.
Oh, yeah,
Jean, did you have a comment from earlier?
No, that wasn't the hotel bell. So that's weird. I don't know what's going on.
No, I did it. That was me.
No, that was you. That's too funny. No, I'm fascinated by what she has to say, but I'm just amazed at what they put corn in, you know, like meats and stuff. Are you kidding me? Sausages, it's very sad.
Well, they're fed on
and
corn.
It's
called marbling.
Too. Yeah, the corn syrup and stuff makes, for high fructose, that makes it more addicting, too.
Yeah.
Well, that was the question I had, too.
Yeah.
What is high fructose corn syrup, and why is that so dangerous?
Well, I mean, mainly it's a sugar, but but I mean, and it's a highly addictive sugar, but you know what I was going to say though is here's a little inner secret of like why they add corn and all that kind of stuff to so many of our products. Okay. And I hate to even say this, because it's a little capitalistic secret. That's not a secret.
Why would you hate it? This is the ultimate free speech zone. If you don't say it, I'm going to yell at you. Let's hear it.
You know, so I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a capitalist. You know, call me capitalist pig if you want. But I can tell you from my perspective.
On this show?
You know, that, yeah. So from my perspective, you know, I'm interested in my bottom line because I like to make money because it's always good to be able to pay my bills. Okay. So when I'm doing a catering event, let's just give you, I'm going to give you a primo example. So I make these crab cakes, right? And they're amazing. My crab cakes are to die for. And usually I use really good lump white meat, right? Well, let's say you book a wedding a year in advance and you base your pricing on the current market value. Well, then in a year, you don't want to surprise that bride by saying either you can't have the crab cakes or we're going to raise your price by $20 per person or anything like that. I mean, you can't do that. So you're faced with what can I do as a, quote, filler, okay? So I still give them the white lump crump meat, which is now like three times the price it was a year ago. And by the way, just to tell you, this is actually not an exaggeration. This is actually exactly what's going on with every caterer or restaurant that I know right now. So what you wind up doing is saying, well, how can I make some good crab cakes? But put something in there that maybe isn't normally if I would have that, those crab cakes would be 70-80% crab. Now it is now going to be 40% crab. And instead I'm going to supplement with, let's just say like risotto or something, something that is a lot cheaper, but will also be really tasty and good. And you'll still have the good taste of the crab meat. It won't be as good. So you find ways to fill in the void. Well, guess what? Now I'm a, you know, like I said, I'm a, you know, a decent small business owner. Well, imagine corporations which are not, you know, as concerned about the quality as well as their bottom line. All they're concerned about, like narcissistic, you know, whatever they're all for themselves. Then they might fill it with something artificial. Well, that's what's been happening over the last 40 years. 40, 60 years, they're putting artificial stuff in there. And even if you look at like MSG, you know, my son and I get into it all the time because he's like, who cares if they put something like that in their MSG? He's like, because he said, just because it makes it taste good, what's wrong with that? And that's what he always said. And I said, because it's tricking your system and your body, and it's actually not helping your body. That's making you think it tastes good, but it doesn't actually, without that MSG, it wouldn't do it. But it's a, you know, it's a chemical that they put in there to trick your mind into thinking that it tastes good. And my son will say, oh, I don't really care as long as it tastes good. And a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people, like when it comes to dieting, you know, it's got to taste good. I mean, you know, they have a very emotional attachment to food, you know. You know, when really, if we were like robots, we would just be like, well, what's going to make us the smartest and what's going to, you know, fuel our bodies the best, but we also want it to taste good, you know? And that's a little bit emotional for us to, you know, want the desire of something, you know, to taste good and to look good actually too. Who wants to eat food that does not look good? If it looks like dog food, you don't want to eat it, right?
So, well, that's your dog. No, I'm just kidding. I found something on high fructose corn syrup here, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, cool.
It says you've probably heard of high fructose corn syrup. This is from Dr. Axe, AXE. It's their website.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love Dr. Axe. He's awesome.
Oh, that's the first time I found it. So, yeah.
Really?
It says, hey, listen, I found like three new websites today I've never heard from before. So it's kind of cool. All right. So he says, put simply, it's a sweetener derived from cornstarch, which is what we talked about earlier. Cornstarch is composed of a chain of glucose, simple sugar molecules joined together. Corn syrup, which is basically 100% glucose, comes from the breakdown of cornstarch into individual glucose molecules. So what this really is, this is the same thing as hydrogenated vegetable oil. So in other words, what they do is they take the simple molecules and they have an endless chain of them, whereas non-hydrogenated corn oil or olive oil or whatever is going to have more complex carbon chains. If I remember my high school nutrition chemistry, and what they do is they have fewer hydrogen atoms, and the atoms are the molecules are clumped together more. But if you hydrogenate, you put more hydrogen atoms all around, and you create more of these bonds and more of these extra things there. And I'm not sure exactly what it does, but that's what hydrogenated means. They're adding hydrogen. So high fructose corn syrup is adding glucose, which is carbon, hydrogen, and I think it's oxygen 2, C6H12O6 is the basic formula for glucose. Okay, that's your basic sugar. So if they're adding all this stuff to it, they're simplifying. Starch is a complex sugar, which potatoes are starch, right? So they're breaking down the starch. They're breaking it down into these simple things. They're adding stuff to it. They're making the chains longer, longer, longer. So high fructose, they're adding extra sugar to the corn syrup is what my guess is. It says in order to create high fructose corn syrup, enzymes must be added to corn syrup to change some of the glucose into another simple sugar called fructose. Oh, there we go. The enzymes alpha amylase and he's getting technical here. Let me just get the first opening. It says, high fructose corn syrup, it says that corn refiners have already spent $50 million trying to convince us to accept corn sugar as high fructose corn syrup. Manufactured mostly from genetically modified corn, there you go, there's your GMO, just like the vaccines, high fructose corn syrup is definitely not natural and definitely not healthy. Chances are all of us have consumed high fructose corn syrup at some point in our lives. See, I don't even, that's another thing, I read labels, okay? This is where Truth and Labeling was so good. The Federal Trade Commission did a lot with that. But Truth and Labeling is absolutely, you can see which products have high fructose corn syrup. You know, I like beets, for example, pickled beets, and I found out the pickling doesn't lose any nutrition, which is kind of cool. So I get a choice of two beets, one with high fructose corn syrup, one without. Which one do you think I'm buying? The one without, which happens to be a cheaper generic store brand. But you know, because I don't need the high fructose corn syrup from the other brand. And in fact, I actually tried one by mistake once. It tastes like it's so sweet, it's scary. So obviously, I'm more attuned to less high fructose corn syrup. We got two calls. Chancy on the line already for her report at 8:30. We've got Bianchi who's on the line right now too. I'm going to jump to his line and see if he has a question for you, Chef Paulette.
So Greg, when you were prattling on about the
prattling on. Oh yeah, win friends with the host. There you go.
No, just about the high fructose. There was a song that actually came to my mind while you were.
Which one was that?
Going on and on about that hydrogen
still,
stuff because it sounded like you were talking about hydrogen bond. It's
okay.
Talk Dirty to Me. It's like, oh my gosh, you know that song. Talk
wait,
dirty
wait, wait.
To me.
I mentioned like, hydrogen bonds, and you think Talk Dirty to Me?
Yeah, because it's like ew.
Okay, Bianchi, help me out here. Then I get to Chancy. Paulette's already said I probably.
Yeah, I was.
Now she's saying all kinds of things about me. Yeah, go ahead, Bianchi.
Good morning. I was there on the complex, so I thought I'd add some simplex. So
nice.
Okay,
so you guys are on a roll.
We are. Well, you know, we have our serious moments and we have our fun moments, and definitely.
When you going? You got a heading here about black supremacy. Did you discuss that already?
First hour.
I had to leave. Oh,
okay.
Well,
we get a podcast. Listen, podcasts will be available in
because
in,
you know you're
minutes.
Seeing it mm-hmm. at Arizona State University.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't want to get into that right now. I know it's a fabulous topic. In fact, I'll bring it up tomorrow. Check out the first hour of the show. We'll see if we have some extra time at the end. Hang around for a while. Let's get Chancy in on this too. I'm having way too much fun with Paulette and the fact that she says I prattle on and songs remind her of Talk Dirty to Me. Paulette, do you want me to talk dirty to you? Is that what you're insinuating? Is this where we're going here today?
Well, you know, when I hear you talk about how exactly high fructose syrup is made and all of the chemical stuff, you know, for people who aren't science-y, you know, it's kind of a long, complicated thing. And it's definitely what I would consider all of that talk of sugar and how it's made and everything. It just sounds very naughty. And
rule number one of Action Radio, Paulette, never underestimate the intelligence of the audience. We will take the most complex subjects. We're talking nuclear weapons yesterday, third generation nuclear weapons. You think that's an easy topic for people? No, it doesn't matter. We're going to tackle it anyway because that's what we do here. Now, I'm not criticizing you at all. I'm just saying that I don't mind going into the complex. And so for those that want to try and look more into it, you know, the fact that people understand that high fructose is a sugar, they're actually adding sugar to cornstarch, which is a complex sugar, making it even more sugary, making it even more dangerous, causing more inflammation. I think that's a fairly easy concept, but people can go to the complexity that they want to, you know, in this show.
Well,
but I don't want to underestimate anybody that wants to go more complex and learn about the actual formulas. This is basic high school chemistry I was talking.
Sure. Well, you know, there, yeah. those people who like to hear about that are what I call Team Greg.
And they're listening to
yeah, and all that sugar agitates your all that sugar agitates your Neanderthal gene. And it causes diabetes.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
Well,
and that's,
okay,
and that's really
curious.
What we talk about when we're talking about, you know, the naughty to nice food. You know, number one being, you know, sugar and, mm-hmm. you know, probably the naughtiest food. And really, I mean, all of these different diets that we're talking about with the different celebrities, you know, keto, intermittent fasting, vegan, paleo, you know, they all have the thing in common, you know, they all have some of the superfoods, which is terrific. And two,
right.
Pretty much all these diets tell you to avoid sugar. Now, not all of them because, you know.
You can't avoid sugar.
Well, there's
this most everything breaks down to sugar. You have to avoid the bad sugars and too much sugar. Listen, I need you to sum up. We've got Chancy online. I want to get her in the conversation here, too. So I don't want to forget your contact information as well, just in case, because we get busy here sometimes. But,
sure.
Yeah, let's focus in here and give you your most dire warnings, you know, before I prattle on again. I'm never going to let you forget that.
Well, hey, that's okay.
No, go ahead.
It's your show.
I'm having way too much fun with you. Okay. Yeah, it's my show. I guess I can. Yeah. So give your website real quick, and then I want to get to Chancy and see what she has to say about the whole sugar and inflammation
great,
thing.
Oh, okay, great. I thought you were pulling her in right now. So, yeah.
No, you can stay.
Oh, awesome.
I just want to make sure I get the information out. Yeah,
so tonight, I'm super excited. I'm actually doing a nice, Naughty to Nice show on Twitch this evening, www.twitch.com/naughtytonice, to the number, Naughty to Nice. And I am making a German keto meal. And so that means a low-carb meal. I'm actually making some Stollen. Not sure if you've ever had Stollen, but it has lots
of
candy.
I've had stuff Stollen, but that's different.
It may be. Well, this is actually a dessert. And it has like
yes,
candy,
so it
can
be
Stollen.
Yes, it's got to be a good German.
Oh yeah,
yes,
yeah, it's called
good.
The Stollen, exactly.
Okay, fine, Stollen.
And I'm also going to be making some Jägerschnitzel and some braised red cabbage. So I'm very excited.
Was the schnitzel with Jägermeister in it, or what? How do you make Jägerschnitzel?
No, it's actually with mushrooms, like a mushroom gravy. It's pork, which is.
I like my version better.
yeah, putting Jägerschnitzel. Yeah, so then we can hallucinate. You know, once again, you're continuing to talk dirty.
I'm doing the best I can. You asked me to, so it reminds me of the song. So still haven't heard you sing yet, but the day is young.
Well, I probably have to cut out pretty soon myself.
Okay.
Definitely trying to catch up with these crazy holiday blues. But I'd love to see you guys tonight, 7 p.m. Central. Again, that's www.twitch.com/naughtytonight. And I appreciate you so much for having me on the show. Love to talk about... you know, diets and food that is naughty, food that is nice. Don't forget, Santa Claus is watching you, what you're eating. He sees you when you're eating. He sees you when you're drinking. He knows when you're naughty. He knows when you're nice.
I want to hear you sing that next time. Better watch out. Better not pout. Santa Claus has his internet out. Sorry. Just making this stuff up. Don't mind me. Yeah.
Hey, you know, I used to always say that about even like the with the mask wearing and stuff like that. You know, it's always like Big Brother's watching us. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. There you go. You got a little second of jingle for me.
Wow. Wait a minute. Don't go away. I gotta find. Yeah, let's see if I can find this real quickly here.
That's not the best one.
Wait. No, I gotta give a round of applause. Ah, here it is. There we go.
Not bad.
All right,
it should be. It should go like this.
Oh, okay.
Paddling along, singing a song.
Bye. Yeah, remember that. Remember that movie with Danny Aiello and Bruce Willis where they were thieves? They used to sing songs to keep time when they were safe cracking? Hudson Hawk.
Oh, my gosh.
We're all over the place here. Paulette, you're welcome to stick around if you have to go. I understand that, too. Chancy, you've been waiting way too long. Get in here. What do you think of all this? Yeah. What's going on,
yeah,
Dallin?
It's right up my alley.
Okay, so yeah, sugar. Let's tackle that first. High fructose corn syrup. You know, did I miss anything on my explanation here? Paul was getting after me.
No,
kind
of what's so crazy is like you were saying when you read labels, mm-hmm. they are now. I think they know that, but they're now trying to change to where they don't have to put the high fructose or the corn syrup all together. They can just mm-hmm. put fructose or corn syrup or HFC, like, and so you won't know if it actually has high fructose corn syrup in it. It can say that it just has fructose, and people don't really know what fructose is. They're looking for that fructose corn syrup, and they don't have to put corn syrup anymore. All they have to do is put high fructose. So they're messing around with the labeling to confuse those who are on, you know, like all of us would know to avoid completely fructose corn mm-hmm. syrup, corn, all the things. But yeah, they're trying to get it to where they don't have to label it if it has high fructose corn syrup.
So who's responsible for labeling? Is that Food and Drug Administration or Federal Trade Commission? Who does the labeling?
I really don't know. I can look it up.
Okay.
But yeah, that's where we're at.
Okay, this has been a contention for. I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish your thought, and then I'll say something.
I was just saying. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, labeling has been a contention for a long time. And I remember I worked in Washington when I was doing my internship in the 80s during the Carter administration, way back when. One of the rules was the funeral rule that the Federal Trade Commission was putting together. People parlors are discussed when it comes to lack of competition, you know, price disclosure, you know, unfair marketing techniques because people are, you know, they're dealing with a loved one who just passed on. So it was fascinating looking into that. But I think it's the Federal Trade Commission that actually does labels. But I remember that the term natural has a definition.
Yeah.
Natural doesn't mean completely natural, you know. Organic has a definition. And you have to know what the definitions mm-hmm. are. You think of organic as absolutely pure. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. And different countries have different mm-hmm. definitions. So you have to look, you know, it's like beef when they grade beef. There's prime and there's choice. Well, you'd think both of those were pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. If it's choice, mm-hmm. it's the good stuff. No, prime is the good
yeah.
stuff. All right? And choice
exactly.
is the lesser one. And then select is the third grade, okay? Amazing things mm-hmm. that pop out of my head.
Yeah.
You know, and select sounds pretty good too, doesn't it? So they've actually created three
yeah.
grades of beef that all sound about the same, even though prime is the absolute best. That's what you find in your Kobe beef, and most of that goes to Japan. Choice is what most people eat. But, you know, sounds good. And then select, of course, ends up in your stew. Why don't they just call it grade A, B, and C beef? They don't do that because they want to disguise it. They want to hide the classifications unless mm-hmm. you actually know what it is. Same thing with high fructose corn syrup. If they can get rid of that bad label or GMO, they don't want to say GMO anymore, even though I'm finding out that I didn't know all of the corn was GMO as well as all of the soy. So now I'm taking away two favorites. And, you know, I'm going to eat, you know, native farm-grown corn, and that's it. Well, I don't eat much corn anyway. Hey, have you ever tried raw corn, by the way? Mm-hmm. Raw corn's fabulous. Don't cook it. Just eat it. Eat it raw. It's 10 times mm-hmm. better than cooked.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, anyway. Back to you. Yeah, try it.
Okay. There was a restaurant in Tampa that we went to, and they gave us fried corn as an appetizer. So I was very, it was really weird. We ate like one piece just to see what it felt like, and it was like they literally had took the corn kernel and just fried it until it puffed up, and it was like cardboard on the inside. So I don't understand.
Ew.
It was a Cuban restaurant. Yeah, so I don't understand that. But, no, so we were getting into MSG, and I heard y'all talking about that, and that was you know, talked about Chick-fil-A and all the things. Like, I don't know if I can say that on here. I already said it, but
exactly.
What'd you say?
You can mention, here's the, if it's relevant to the conversation, if it's something that's documented, provable, and if you start attacking, not just you, but anybody, if they're like personal attacks or things that are unsubstantiated, you know, if you can speculate on my show. You can say, look, I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, but here's what I think. That's perfectly mm-hmm. fine. But mm-hmm. if you pass something, not you, but if anybody tries to pass something off as truth, or you go after a company for a vindictive thing because of something that might have personally happened to you, yeah, I'm going to call that. I say you can't do that. But
yeah.
if there's something relative
yeah.
to the company, I mean, Monsanto produces the GMO foods. I'm not going to hide that. I'm going to say not some company. I'm going to say Monsanto because they're the ones that are doing it.
Yes.
Okay. So that's okay.
Yeah.
So as long as you're within you're being honest, and if it's speculation, say so. If you know it as facts, say so. Just be clear. Just be honest with me and the audience, and we're fine. So go ahead. So back to Chick-fil-A.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that was it. So, you know, Chick-fil-A is God's chicken, and everybody's like, oh, I can eat Chick-fil-A and be healthy because it's been blessed by the, you know, heaven above, and it's full of MSG.
God's chicken.
And has lots
of- that's hysterical. I'm sorry. That's funny. Go ahead.
That's literally, it's like, you know, they, and it's sad. And that's, I mean, I literally wrote the company. I went off on a rant and was like, y'all know better, you know, you're claiming to be who you are and higher, and you do all the things, and you know that you're ruining God's bodies that you have that come through your drive-through every day. But, and then Paulette made a good point, like people don't care. Like I've told people that and they, okay, well, I'm going to keep eating it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, like I'm just letting you know that I love chicken minis too, but I'd rather not chew them over, you know, diabetes or whatever, you know, like a healthy lifestyle. And same concept with Starbucks. So that's where we're getting into branding. But mm-hmm. Starbucks has, like I have a friend that's an allergist and she was getting all of these younger girls. It just so happened to be younger, like college age girls. And they were testing positive for roach allergies. And she didn't understand, like, it was just a broad spectrum of them. And not from one place, not from whatever. And it all comes back to Starbucks and their coffee. And there's research that proves, like, their coffee grounds have roach, most coffee grounds even, Dunkin' Donuts, any of the high-end that you're paying all this money for coffee, they have mm-hmm. roach fragments in the coffee. And so the girls were drinking so much of it that, like, they were getting a roach allergy, which creates, like, asthma and all the things that's in their saliva, in the roach saliva. And all, I can go into details if you want me to, but where I was getting at is I told another girl that she wanted to meet me at Starbucks to talk about health. And I was like, I don't eat at Starbucks. It's got roaches in it. I was just kidding, you know, like making her ask me a question. And she was like, okay, mm-hmm. well, that's fine. I'll just have my roaches later. But it blows my mind that like people are trying to get healthy and then they don't care when you tell them something. They just want a quick, you know, take a supplement or take this or take that. It's a lifestyle.
Do you think they just don't want to believe it? Are you challenging their assumptions? Is it a habit pattern where they just, you know, they go to Starbucks, you know? But here's – cereals were big on this. Here's another reason I stopped eating cereals, that there is an actual federal standard for the amount of bugs that can be in food. Most people don't know this. Okay. But there's so many roaches and beetles and things that can be in your cereal. You know, you don't see them all ground up, but they're in. Same thing with the coffee. Now I would think boiling would have some effect on the extra bugs in your coffee, unless they're not boiling the water properly. Maybe they're just heating it up. I don't know. But in that respect, tea would probably be a product because your tea leaves and whatever bugs might be in the tea are at least encased in the filter bag. So hopefully they're restraining it. Now, is tea better than coffee in terms of bugs? Because tea comes from leaves as opposed to coffee
beans. Her research that tea is better unless it's leafy tea. But then you mention that, like, I don't care if I have an organic roach and an organic tea leaf. I don't want moldy coffee with roaches. So you're looking at myotox with roach dander, and then your body is going into, I mean, like, immediate.
You see
and that's
Botox?
Why these people are like, huh?
Did you say Botox there, or what was that thing you
said? Myotox is mold. So, because it's mold in most coffee. Like, if you go to a coffee house outside of your home, there is mold in the coffee. And it's about how much mold that your body can handle versus if you've ever been exposed to mold or not. So some people, I mean, we've all been exposed to mold, but if you have a mold allergy or you have been, like me, I've been diagnosed with mold. So, like, if you, and then you drink that or you eat that, it will react different. So, and I think where you were going back to, why they do it. I think they just don't, like, it's not affecting them. It doesn't affect me. And it's because they don't understand what the effect is, the high heart rate or the sweating or the acne or the gut issues. They don't relate that to the coffee, if that makes sense. So what you're telling them doesn't register. You know, they think of, they just, I don't know. And so unless you educate them beyond whatever, and then it's up to them to choose. But I just thought it was crazy how... Yeah, so there we are. But
Let me check in with Bianca here because he's on the line too. Bianca, do you have a comment for any of this? I'm going to bring you back in the conversation.
I'm looking for roaches.
You still drinking coffee?
No, I haven't started. Don't think I would. But
check,
you know, here's
the
thing.
Around the, are you taking around the beans?
But you know, here's the thing. Yeah, people, human beings around the world, eat some of everything, including bugs. So they're not killing them, so I don't guess it would kill us.
Well, no, they were talking about – Shelby was actually talking about that. And they're trying to sell, like, cricket bars. They're full of crickets. I said, are they crunchy or soft? And she didn't want to answer that. And I don't blame her. But it reminds me of this is a total digression, but I did a college prank where actually I had a can of fried grasshoppers. And so – I bought it. Actually, I gave it to my father years and years ago as a joke. I prison. Of course, he gave it back to me the next year. So here you go. Take this. Kept it for a year. It's yours now. Okay, fine. So I said, what am I going to do with a can of fried grasshoppers? So here I am in college, freshman year, and it's several years after I've had this can lying around for years. I said, okay, fine. It's the last day. It's like the last day of final exams. So I thought, well, let's bring them to breakfast. So I go to the cafeteria, all right, with my can of fried grasshoppers. And I get my scrambled eggs, and I go back to my table, and I had my college roommate was there too. He's like laughing his ass off already because he knows what's coming. He knows I'll do whatever, you know. Anyway. It was back in my impetuous youth. So I put about four or five fried grasshoppers on the scrambled eggs, went back to the kitchen, and said, excuse me, I think there's some bugs in my eggs. Pandemonium broke out. The ladies behind the counter were just panicked. I think they emptied out like 50 gallons of scrambled eggs from some big vat. Students in line grabbed their stomachs and walked away. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Now, granted, today is probably I wouldn't do that because I'm a little more mature, but at that point in my life, I wasn't. So here I am with these fried grasshoppers. And then just to make matters worse, I picked one up and said, well, let me see how this tastes. And I crunched one, right? So, you know, this isn't too bad. Then everybody left the line. It
must have been before lawsuits.
I was – no lawsuits. I was a troublemaker. You know, I mean, I've calmed down a lot in my senior years here. But there was a time when I was pretty feisty. Actually, you know what? I did that again because stuff like that was funny. And then so I proceeded back to my table eating my fried grasshoppers and scrambled eggs, and people couldn't believe it. So they're actually not too bad. I wouldn't make a regular habit of it, but for one day it was worth eating a couple of fried grasshoppers. Chancy?
Well, I don't think those things will kill you. I don't think those things that will make you sick or kill you. I think they're in there. Minute particles of roaches and everything else is in the air, especially the dust. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's just the way it is.
But we talk about immune systems, too. You know, there are, and different cultures have different foods, like we eat eggs, okay? But there's some cultures, I think, in Africa where they find it disgusting that you would eat an animal before it's born. So they don't eat eggs. You know, is anything wrong with eggs?
Right.
No. But that's their culture. That's their culture. So this is what they believe, and it's, you know, perfectly acceptable if that's what you believe. Cool. I don't happen to believe that, so I don't have that thing. But there are different foods that people eat. Kosher, for example. There's another example. And there's very good reasons for it, especially when you don't have refrigeration to not eat, you know, pork. It's very interesting. And some people don't eat pork anyway just for dietary means because they don't think it's the healthiest of the meats out there. Apparently venison is one of the healthiest. I mean, we don't have deer meat in the stores, but that's an interesting thought too, because we want Bambi out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you got a country, you don't have no venison. I'm sorry, ma'am. Go ahead.
We're just flipping around here.
Venison in the U.S. is full of genetically modified corn. So you go out and shoot a deer that's been eating over a corn pile for three months. Like you're eating. It's not what you think you're eating. And so there we are. You know, they have tumors and we don't understand why we're finding these deer with tumors on their horns and tumors on their head. It's from what we're feeding them. People are putting out grain to get those deer to come up, but then you're going to kill them. Well, they haven't ate off the land. They're eating just what the cow that you're trying to avoid is eating. So they're not as bad because you haven't gave them antibiotics and steroids, but there's some farms that even do that. So, but where I'm getting at with the cockroaches to just make sure that, like, we all eat dead bugs, but cockroaches have been known to carry an allergy in people. So that's where that is like the asthma and the rashes. Like, we eat spiders. We eat all kinds of things in food, and that's but due to the fact that roaches are so widespread and that people do have, like, they'll have an asthmatic attack if they're around roach stand or something like that. That's why it's like it's a bigger deal than a centipede or a spider or a, you know, one of those things. Worms. Most people don't have worm allergies. So it's the allergy thing that people aren't understanding is their gut is telling them something and they don't know what it is. But yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. But I came on today because I wanted to know if anybody had ate anything over the holidays that upset their stomach and they were mad about it. And, you know, like wanted to kind of remediate that with activated charcoal or a binder. And those things are always good to have on hand when you are eating somewhere that you're not sure.
Yeah, this is interesting, especially for travelers. This might be something Shelby might be interested in as well as she travels around and talks about it. But activated charcoal, I think of as what you put in fish tanks or what you put as a water purifier or in my water filter, you know, take the lead and other things out, activated charcoal. Mm-hmm. How do you actually ingest activated charcoal into your stomach? And that, how does this process work? Mm-hmm. I'm curious now.
Yes. And so I have a powder activated charcoal that works really well. It's like there's several different levels to it of what it grabs, but just a simple organic non-GMO activated charcoal capsule will go through and grab all of, not all, but more of the toxins out of your colon and help you to excrete it. So if you are traveling or you are on holidays, you can just take it with your biggest meal. And then 2 hours away from medicine that you have to survive. So if you are, you know, severe diabetic or severe blood pressure or cholesterol or anything like that, you just take it 2 hours before or after just so that it doesn't remediate the effects of that, you know, medicine and you think something's wrong. It can't hurt you. It's just one of those things that you try to educate.
When I take my food out the oven, it's instant charcoal, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I know. There's some of that I've had before, too.
Where would someone get some activated charcoal? This is the first I've heard of it. We got more first today. This is a really great show.
Well, I supply it here at my spa. I can order it for you, but Everman's is where I get people to go quickly. And that's local. I don't know if y'all are. But then the best brand that I have found is Quicksilver, and that's on mine.
That's Mercury.
And it is.
That's a nickname for Mercury. Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. I know. Isn't that weird? But it's a really cool biohacking brand. And then there is the Bulletproof brand. And I don't know any of these. I'm not affiliated with any of these people. I make zero money off of it. But Bulletproof has really done the research on adding coconut oil in with it so that your gut, you know, handles it better. So not that it anything. It's just something.
Is that a probiotic by chance, coconut oil, or no?
Yeah, it's kind of all over, like an antifungal.
You?
Yes, it's amazing for you.
Coconut oil. You know, so,
when you go
someplace foreign, Greg, and you get diarrhea and that, then people take that activated charcoal to kind of settle their stomach down. And you don't have to eat the food. You can just breathe the dust in the street, and you can still take in that bacteria, man. It will lay you out.
You know, when I was traveling through Europe in my 20s, I spent 3 months just bumming around everywhere. And I ate at every market, you know, every cheap little restaurant. You know, I drank the local wine. I tried to stay away from the water. So I lived on wine and beer and, you know, and bottled water and things like that. But, you know, I must have a pretty strong stomach because I went in a lot of places. I never got sick all through Europe. And I was in a different country, you know, every week or certainly every two. I think I spent a couple of weeks in Italy, a couple of weeks in Germany. But, I mean, I went from England to Greece and every country in between. And so it was a fascinating trip. But, yeah, you can do it. Now, are certain stomachs stronger than others? Or the fact that I ate mostly the produce and the non-processed kind of things, and was that better or was that more of a problem because they were, you know, locally irrigated, locally grown as opposed to, like, a national canned variety of stuff? I don't know. What's the best food when you're traveling?
That's what it is. There's no proof in that. I mean, I guess you could do studies, but yes. I mean, you were eating off the land, so to say, and you were eating stuff that was cooked, you know, naturally more than not. And your atmosphere was of joy and happiness, and that matters. So your intent when you were eating that was to have a good time, and I'm going to enjoy. I'm backpacking through your or whatever, you know, like you weren't thinking GMOs and glyphosate.
Train, though.
You were thinking about that stuff. You were enjoying yourself.
Which leads to a fascinating thing, I think. If you're talking about Thanksgiving, people are there to enjoy themselves. Are they overeating? Are they eating things that are new and different and strange? I mean, people may only have turkey one time a year. I mean, I don't know. I mean, so how would the activated charcoal play into that? What kind of foods are causing problems for folks at Thanksgiving? Because it's probably the same ones at Christmas time, too. Oh, so that's why I'm curious.
Every single one of them. Yeah, you watch someone. You can't because you're not with them all the time. But you nicely ask them what they cooked with. And more than likely, 80% of the people at your family function cooked with, like we were talking about, margarine, corn syrup. They did canola oil. They didn't
Crisco and other things like that.
French bread that's got, you know, all of the gluten. So you keep piling that on and piling that on in one sitting or three plates or over a weekend, your gut mm-hmm. is going to be distorted because of the fact that now we are sprayed with glyphosate in the air. So it's not, it's a compilation of, well, I used to could eat this. Yeah, me too. But it's not the same. Mm. The eggs aren't the same. The cheese isn't the same. Nothing is the same. And so then you start thinking it's the same, and it's not. Like, you know, you see these people feed children milk, like vitamin D whole milk. And it's because, mm-hmm. well, I used to drink milk. Well, that wasn't the same milk. And so if they're not being educated to know that what's changed, or if they're not looking into it, they think you're the crazy one for telling them not to give their kid milk.
And so for those of us who grew up with it in the 60s and 70s, like me, you know, being of a vintage, you know, so the milk I had was still pasteurized, you know, it was still whole milk, and it still had vitamin D in it. But what didn't it have? Did the cows not have all the antibiotics, all the growth hormones, all the other things? I don't remember that at all from when I was a kid. I got a pretty good memory. I mean, I studied.
Yes.
You know, I would have noticed it. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Chancy? When I travel to Egypt, they don't pasteurize the milk over there, so you can't drink milk or milk products or have them in your coffee.
Huh.
And most people stay in a five-star restaurant, which is more conducive to the American diet, and you dare not eat in what's called a chop shop, so the little restaurants on the side of the road. So that stuff will kill you.
But doesn't kill the local folks. Are they just immune to it? I mean, and what are they serving?
They're
the neighbor's cat or what? I mean, what's in there?
Well, whatever it is, they have adapted to it, and it's conducive right. to them. If they came here and ate some of the stuff, that's why many foreigners used to bring their food with them when they came until the
right.
Customs stopped it. Mm-hmm. But you walk through you pick your luggage up, and all kind of odors be coming out of those luggages.
When you look at that, like, you can tell, like, you go somewhere, and the most – I don't want to say most because I don't know the numbers, but – there's more Mexican Spanish people coming into the country, so there's more Mexican restaurants, and they're seeing that. They're like, I'm just gonna bring my food with me because y'all's is terrible. I've been to your restaurants and it tastes like dirt, you know, to them, because they're used to the spices and the things and all that. So they Indian restaurants, you start seeing that, or Cuban restaurants. These people come here and they can't find what they want, so they just open it or create it. But we're just
or Vietnamese restaurants, which are wonderful. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I love living in the Bay Area. We have a little dearth of restaurants in the greater Milton, Pensacola area. Not quite the variety I'm used to, but in the Mission, which was primarily a Latino area. They had everything from Central and South America. You could go from Brazilian restaurant to an Argentinian, to a Chilean, to a
yes.
Cuban, to a Honduran. You know, I mean, they're all there.
Because yes.
You know, all the folks that showed up, legal and illegal, you know, set up restaurants in the Mission District of San Francisco. It was really kind of fun,
yes.
but they're
yeah.
all just a little bit different. But yeah, now spices for those. I remember when Mexican food first came to Boston. And I think I've told you the story before. You know, I grew up on I was in New England for my junior high and high school years. And, of course, we had, you know, baked beans, lobster, clam chowder, really bland stuff. I mean, it tasted good, but it wasn't spicy at all. So Mexican food hits. We're not used to it. We all died, like, the first couple of years as we gradually got used to things like, you know, salsa, you know, jalapenos. I couldn't eat a jalapeno to save my life way back then. Now, yeah, it's still hot, but, I mean, it's not as bad. And, of course, some folks
yeah.
talk on spices all the time. So spices, are they good, bad, not so good, doesn't matter, you know, personal choice? Do you have a thought on those? I'm just curious.
Yeah, completely matter. And that's the thing. It's really sad because people start thinking they're, okay, well, I'm going to add oregano and basil and thyme, and I'm going to go to Walmart and get great value seasoning, and it's awful. I mean, it's the same concept. They've been sprayed with glyphosate. They have pesticides on them, and you're grinding that up and putting it in your organic chicken and, you know, that. So sourcing matters, and it matters with everything. And so you mm-hmm. have to make sure that it has a stamp of approval. And pretty much all of them are amazing, but turmeric, black pepper, cayenne, paprika, salt and pepper, but not bleached salt. So you want a real salt, so we can go down that mm-hmm. rabbit hole. But there's so many things that are beneficial to you, but they also can, if you go the opposite route, be terrible.
So you mentioned Butcher Box, for me. I'm going to go look them up. But local, are we best off, you know, and how do you tell? Are we all going to end up in local farmers, you know, produce markets and things? You know, farmers markets, is that the best place? Is there any decent food in the big chain grocery stores anymore, or are you just much better off really going to local sources only for eggs and fish and everything.
Yeah, it probably sound extra, but yeah, I mean, I just don't touch it in the grocery stores, but not everybody can do that. So you want to look at labels, and then 80-20 is what I live by. That's why I teach people, like, you can still live your best life and just make a better choice. Don't buy Walmart meat. Buy, you know, something on, I don't even know brands anymore because we don't buy it, but something that says no antibiotics, no, you know, no hormones added. And yeah, there's probably some limits because they have to do that, but you're better off and your body is fearfully and wonderfully made and it will digest that. But if you're dealing with dis-ease in the body, you don't want to start piling it full of antibiotics that is in your meat or in your vegetables with pesticides. So you just make better choices. But if you're able to, your best bet is going to a farmer's market, but then you've got to be bold enough to ask the farmer how he farms. And no one wants to do that. So
go to the Amish or the Quakers.
Yeah. Oh, I love their food. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Only about 20 seconds left. So, and we ran a little bit long yesterday, Dr. Pryke. Kind of carried on. So, Chancy, let's get your information out there, stores, websites, all the good stuff. We got about 10 seconds.
Yeah, no, it's chancycarry.com, chancycerry, and all of my information is on there. Organic wine, essential oils, massage therapy, all the things. I'm there.
If we got to do that experiment, I want to be a chick magnet. I got to try some essential oils. I want to see if this
works.
Yes,
I'm going to make you one. I made a rollerball for another gentleman the other day. He had a horrible concussion.
Okay.
And so
I'm going to walk around public and see what happens. Maybe should get somebody with a video camera. We're going to do that. All right, Chancy, thank you so much. Bianca, thank you, too. Thanks, everybody, for the show today. Back tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock Central, 7 Eastern, 5 Mountain, 4 Pacific. Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. And our new improved writeyourlaws.com website will be out very soon, WriteYourLaws.com. Back tomorrow.